Good Monday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Hopefully y'all had a wonderful weekend. The beautiful weather continuing. It looks like we're going to get through the entire week in the 80s. Saturday, it gets down to 75 for our high, and then we cool off Sunday, 69 degrees, and I think some 60s as we head into the next week, but that's as far as I can see at WDAYRadioNow.com. Dino says we could set a record warm temp today. We should be close to it. The current record high for this day, 88, that was set just last year, believe it or not. And he is calling for sunshine today with a high around 87. So we will see how that shakes down. North Dakota's top law enforcement officer is headed to Fargo. Attorney General Drew Wrigley will hold a press conference tomorrow at 1:30 at Fargo City Hall. City of Fargo made the announcement on its social media pages, but has not shared what the attorney general plans to discuss. We've reached out to both the attorney general's office in Fargo for more information. A Fargo school board member is voicing concerns over the district's budget, which was approved last week at a multi-million dollar deficit. Greg Clark spoke about the district's finances at last week's school board meeting. Clark says there is some good news in that there is a fund of balance to cover the deficit so as not to borrow money to make payroll, but he says the current situation is unsustainable. If the issue is not corrected in a timely manner, Clark estimates cuts to the budget in the range of 5 to 10% over the next several years. The University of North Dakota is navigating how to make up for over $3 million in federal funding cuts. Officials are notified of the funding loss in March following the Trump administration's decision to make federal research funding cuts. UND says $1.3 million alone was lost for its undergrad research training and international research experiences for students. The school remains uncertain whether future funding cuts will occur. A second case of anthrax in cattle has been reported in a cattle herd in Stark County. The North Dakota Department of Agriculture says a case was identified in a beef cattle herd last week. Officials are urging livestock producers to take precautionary actions to prevent the spread by reviewing risk factors and vaccination needs for livestock. Anthrax bacterial spores can lie dormant in the ground for decades, and animals can be exposed to them when foraging. Details about the infectious disease can be found on the North Dakota Department of Agriculture website. North Dakota will soon join a mobile ID initiative. The North Dakota Department of Transportation says it will join 16 other states, allowing drivers to add their licenses or state ID to a mobile wallet. U.S. passports can also be added to the virtual wallet, but can only be used for domestic travel. It will not be a full replacement for physical IDs and passports. North Dakotans can start accessing the function sometime next month. Two groups of veterans from the Red River Valley are in Washington, D.C. for the latest honor flight. They took off yesterday from Hector International Airport. The group returns tomorrow night. The first will return to Hector around 6 o'clock. They'll then be taken to the Fargo Dome. If you're planning on welcoming the veterans home, you're asked to arrive at the Dome around 5:30. And Spirit Airlines is ending flights at Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport. Spirit has filed for bankruptcy for the second time in a year as the carrier struggles to compete against bigger airlines. Airlines shutting down services in a dozen other airports across the country. Spirit also plans to furlough more than 1,800 flight attendants before the end of the year. 5:04, Jace Denman has arrived with our WDAY Radio Sports. A lot of losses for our local regional teams here over the weekend.
Sports has been canceled for the weekend. Thanks, back to you, Bonnie.
Well, the Bison won, so there's that.
Yeah, thanks. I don't know.
Did you stay up and watch the Lynx last night? I didn't.
No, I did
haven't
not.
Followed them at all. They're not my. I did watch the Fever game, of course.
Of course, and then of course they won. So thanks for that.
It was a good game. It was tight all the way. So yeah.
Well. I don't know if James put it in there. Yeah, he did put it in there. So they were tied at the half yesterday when I looked at the box score, and I checked the score before going to bed. Yeah, or later in the game. I don't remember exactly when I looked at it, but the Lynx were up by 13 going into the fourth quarter.
Mm. Well, they blew a 20-point loss the other day.
Yeah, they were outscored 31-13. Kayla McBride led the way with 31 points. Courtney Williams added 20 points and 6 assists. Jessica Shepherd had 14 points and 7 boards. Minnesota was without star Nafisha Collier. He had gotten an ankle injury. And Coach Cheryl Reeve was suspended by the league for her suspended by the WNBA for her third ejection. I don't know. He wrote three ejections, so I'm not really quite sure what James meant. But
she got after the ref.
She is
a lot of foul language, too.
Yeah, that's not – if you don't know Cheryl Reeves, that, I mean, that's – she's always been about that lifestyle.
Yeah.
She will let you know what she thinks. She is a – for those that are NBA fans, she is a Greg Popovich style of coach, you might say. So you don't play with Cheryl, and I just think it's a awful way, in a sense, for the Lynx to go out, because I thought this year was their year. Now, I've watched the video of the foul on Friday night, and some people have a point that, you know, the steal was illegal because she didn't touch Nafisha, but then there was that contact after the steal. And as someone pointed out online, well, then that should have been a foul on the defense for the contact after the steal, just like when you're fouling through on a shot and you get fouled because the person, you know, invades that landing area that you're given. Although someone replied to that post somewhere I saw online and said, well, if that was the case, then all of a sudden the Phoenix player became the offensive player and Nafisha ran into her, so Nafisha should have been called for a foul. And I'm just like,
okay,
whatever. So either way, the Lynx are out. I mean, my favorite teams this weekend all went 0-for. Nobody won. Mm. Friday night, Florida State football lost. The Lynx lost. Saturday, Dragons lost in Duluth. They had a lead a couple different times, but just didn't make quite enough plays. There was a pass, Bonnie, in the first half. The Dragons were up 7-0, and they were driving. Jack threw a pass to an out pattern on the side to his left. It went off two receivers' hands. It got tipped up twice, and somehow the defensive back caught it before it touched the ground and ran back 82 yards for a touchdown. That really kind of changed everything. Plus the fact that the kicker, literally James and I are in the booth thinking, the way this kicker had kicked these two field goals, it didn't look like it was going to become close. It was going to be close to making it. Mm-hmm. Knocked them both down. One of them was a 52-yarder. So you're like, plays like that, when they happen, you just kind of have to tip your cap and go, well, it just wasn't our day.
Yeah.
So Dragons lost 28-14 on the road. Concordia College did win against Gustavus Adolphus 14-13. The Golden Gophers defeated Rutgers 31-28. NDSU all over my Coyotes from South Dakota 51-13. South Dakota's just not the same team they were last year. Back to the WNBA, the Las Vegas Aces, Indiana Fever game 4. Indiana got the 90-83 win. Kelsey Mitchell led Indiana with 25 points, followed by 24 points and 14 rebounds from Aaliyah Boston. Best of 5 series tied at 2. Game 5 will be in Las Vegas on Tuesday at 8:30 p.m. on ESPN2. Minnesota Twins, well, they got walked off by the Phillies 2-1 in 10 innings in their finale, so can put a little tombstone on this season and say, here lies the 2025 season. Twins ended the 2025 regular season with a record of 70-92. So if you relate that back to football, it's like a 7-9 season. So it's different in baseball, you know, when you win that percentage of games. Minnesota Wild, well, they lost 2, just for good measure. They lost a preseason matchup against the Blackhawks 4-1 yesterday afternoon. Hunter Hite scored Minnesota's only goal. Philip Gustafson saved 17 of 20 shots he faced. Wild will now welcome the Winnipeg Jets to St. Paul on Tuesday at 7 p.m., which will, I don't know which way you wrote that. I don't know if that's if this weekend's game against the Blackhawks was 5 of 6 or if it was 4 of 6. Let's see. And finally, bright and early Sunday morning, I slept through probably half of it just because I was catching up on sleep from the weekend. Minnesota Vikings fell short against the Steelers 24-21 in Dublin. Carson Wentz went 30 of 46 for 350 yards and 2 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. Justin Jefferson led the way with 10 catches, 126 yards. Xavier Scott and Jalen Naylor each caught a touchdown. They looked pretty good out there. Eric Wilson, Josh Metellus each had 9 tackles. Vikings fall to 2-2 on the season. Vikings now head over to London to play the Cleveland Browns on Sunday at 8:30 a.m. once again. This week on our family of stations, first here on WDAY Radio. Tomorrow night we're going to have Fargo North versus Fargo South in volleyball. First serve at 7 p.m. Friday night, Moorhead will be at Eden Prairie, 6 p.m. kickoff with Larry Knutson. And then Saturday, Cobbers take on St. Scholastica, the Scholies, I guess. Every St. school's got some weird, like, Gustavus Adolphus is the Gusties, St. Olaf is the Olies, St. Thomas is the Tommies.
Is it really the Scholies?
No, I have no idea.
It could be the Lasticas.
My oldest sister went there, but I don't remember.
I don't know what their name. 1 p.m. kickoff with Larry Knutson on our sister station, The Flag. James and I will be in for Friday Night Lights. We've got a great matchup on Friday. Fargo-Shanley versus Fargo-Davies. Kickoff at 7 p.m. I believe that game's going to be over at Shanley. That's going to be a fun one. Should be the top two ranked teams in the state, I think. And then Saturday, homecoming week for MSUM. As the Dragons take on Minot State, 11 a.m. pregame, 12 p.m. kickoff with James and I on the call with all your action. Also, you can check out our Facebook page on Primetime Sports for our In the Booth cam. Tonight, you can tune into Primetime Sports from 6:30 to 7 p.m. with Big Game James McCarty and myself. We'll wrap up the weekend and all the losses that were incurred by all of our favorite teams.
There you go. If you like last week, you'll love this week. The warm weather pattern continuing, maybe even a little bit warmer. Looks like we could.
It looks warmer.
Yeah.
It looks hot.
Well, because we were basically upper 70s to low 80s last week, right?
Yeah, like today's, I think.
87.
Yeah.
Could set a record.
Mm-hmm.
88, we set that last year. That's the record high for this date. So 87 today. Might it go warmer? We shall see. Mostly sunny. Winds will be south, southeast 5 to 10. 59 are overnight low. Mostly sunny tomorrow, 85 for the high temp, 85 breezy, partly sunny on Wednesday. Southeast winds 15 to 30. Looks like the weekend, chance of showers each day. So I guess enjoy the dry, warm weather here this week. And then we'll cool into the 60s for our highs on Monday
and
Tuesday.
Look, if you dry, warm weather to us, Bonnie, is like maybe 78.
I know. This is hot.
This is hot and dry.
Although the mornings are cool.
The mornings are nice, but.
They're really cool. I went outside to let the dog out yesterday with shorts and a t-shirt. It's like, oh, it's cold out here.
we're dropping
down into the 50s.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, we had to run a couple errands yesterday afternoon. I had to make sure I wore shorts because it was too hot out to wear anything else.
I know. It's one of those ones you have to, sweatpants and a sweatshirt. Then you go for shorts and a t-shirt
Because even now you still have your temperature in your house set the same. So, everybody in the house is kind of like, oh, it's a little bit chilly here. It's a little cold.
That's a good feel.
I know. And then you go outside and you're like, ugh, it's hot out.
Yeah.
So you have to balance that out.
Usually by about 10, 11 in the morning, it starts getting pretty warm out.
Yeah.
So that's the pattern. But same pattern as last week. So I guess enjoy it because we know what's going to be coming.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Partly cloudy, 60 degrees right now at our WDAY radio studios. High top I 29 in South Fargo. Winds out of the south, southeast, 8 miles an hour. Time for your national news from ABC, then a song of the morn and question of the morn coming up. Monday morning, welcome in. Thanks for hanging out with us. We do appreciate it. Bonnie Amistadi, Jace Denman. We'll get you news at the top of the hour with Chris Larson. White Sox, not so sure about, said he wasn't feeling well all weekend, so we'll see if he shows up. If not, the forecast is pretty easy. We can handle it. And Big Game James McCarty with your WDAY Radio Sports. We'll also find out who our Pick 6 winner is. Coming up at 6:10 this morning, the winner got 5 right. There were several people that got 5 right, but it came down to the score of the Pittsburgh Vikings game, and winner pulled for Pittsburgh. A lot of other people went with the Vikings. So we'll find out who it is coming up at 6:10, brought to you by Precision Concrete Cutters, Ramjack North. Our question of the morn, what's the most trouble you got into as a kid? 701-293-9000. You can email us, studio@wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Monday morning, welcome into Bonnie and Friends WDAY Radio. Another lovely week on tap. Hard to believe Wednesday already, October 1st, and we're enjoying temperatures in the 80s, even warmer from what I'm seeing here than what we saw last week for our temps. Could see it set a record or tie a record today. 88 was our record high for this day. That was set just last year. And Dino has sunshine with a high of 87 today. So might it go higher than that? We shall see. And then mid-80s for tomorrow and Wednesday. For this time of year, that's some pretty warm weather.
I'm really trying to work on my extra layer for the wintertime, so I don't need this warmer weather.
I know some of us like when we get to flannel and sweatshirts because it hides a little more. At least we think so. Thursday's going to be 86, too.
I know. Sweatshirt weather. Nobody knows what's going on underneath that sweatshirt.
Exactly.
So.
I'm just tired of my summer clothes. Is everybody else kind of sort of?
Technically, Bonnie, my summer and winter clothes are exactly the same.
You're a guy. That's true. It's such a guy.
I know.
Ronnie would agree with you, too.
It's like, it's not going to change anything I wear to work.
It's exciting to pull out your fall clothes or to pull out your spring
exciting?
Clothes. Exciting? Yeah.
What kind of sheltered world do you live in?
You just get sick of wearing your... So I guess maybe...
I can't wait to dig through my closet and reorganize it, which somebody in my house did this weekend while I was gone.
Yeah.
Which is,
did she touch your stuff too?
If she does, usually my side on the in the closet gets, instead of a whole side, it becomes a half of a side, a corner, and then I've still got to rearrange my stuff to make sure I fit within the parameters.
We have a walk-in closet, so really big top two, those are mine, and then on the other side, there's a smaller shelf. That's the husband's, but he only has about a fourth of it because my stuff's over there.
See, when we moved in, the closet was already kind of set up with the shelving in it. It's not terrible by any means. It's not some fancy system or anything like that. But I got the side that most of my stuff was just hanging in there because that's what I normally do. You know, a lot of times I've kind of gotten away from it, but a lot of my shirts and stuff, I just always hang them up. We put a different like wire shelf or whatever along the back wall. So I think that's all of hers now. And the other side, which has a shelf and a hanger up, you know, a rack to hang, like more like shirts rather than everything like dresses.
Yeah.
And there's a one below it. That's all hers. So she's got 2/3 of the closet.
Me too. Same.
And technically
and
more
than
that.
I don't think I have that much clothes. I mean, a lot of my clothes are 5-10 years old that I continue to wear and stuff. I don't think I have that much stuff, but
you
want to switch things up. You don't want to wear the same 3 shirts like you guys do every day.
Sure. But a lot of times, you know, if I haven't worn it in a year or if it doesn't bring me joy or whatever
year. Oh, do you do that Kim Commando thing or whatever?
No, I do think it's a good point that if you haven't worn something in a year, you're probably not going to wear it anymore. So you can probably get rid of it.
That's true. Kim Kondo, what was her name? Don't you remember that?
Yeah, it was if it doesn't bring you happiness or bring you joy, then you can get rid of it or whatever. Yeah. I don't know. All I know is that somebody likes to keep refreshing their wardrobe all the time. And
I buy...
It's not expensive stuff, mind you.
Yeah. I buy a few like things to freshen things up. But like I said, I've got a lot of stuff I still wear, 5-10 years old. Mm-hmm. But I'll buy like maybe 3 or 4 pieces each season or something like that. Just add a little freshening to it.
Do you buy the same shirt or same top in just like 6 different colors? Are you that type of person?
I've got these nice dress shirts that are
I may
really
or may
nice
not know someone like that. I'm just saying.
No, I don't typically do that, but I have a bunch of nice dress shirts that are from Express, and those are probably 10, 12 years old, but they're all nice like
that. I just
that,
know
similar.
Most recently there are 4 shirts that are exactly the same except for their different colors. So,
well, sometimes they say if you find something you love, like a piece of clothing, then you should buy it in multiple colors. So she's just following that rule.
She does that to a T. She'll find one. I really like this. I should get another color. And I'm like, okay, let me guess. Green and like this kind of purpley mauve color or whatever it is.
Yeah, no, I try to find different things.
And then a white one and a black one and maybe a gray one.
Well, basics. You need the basics in your closet.
I don't know how many basics you need. People are going to be like, did you get another shirt just like that one from yesterday in a different color? Maybe.
Yeah. Well, like you said, she doesn't pay too much for them. I'd rather buy like a – that's why I don't buy too often, because I like to buy quality things that are going to last me a long time.
Well, the stuff she buys, it does last quite a while. I mean, it's not bad. I mean, it's just on the less expensive side. You don't need a fancy name brand when something that's, you know, it's made by a decent company. At least that'll last a long time. I mean – thankfully.
I'm very picky about jeans in particular. Like, I will pay good money.
It doesn't
for jeans.
Look like it.
Yeah, whatever. These are just silvers. They're random that I'm wearing today. I'll pay good money for jeans because my jeans will last me 6-7 years, no
there
problem.
You go.
Yeah, unless I've never had. Usually my weight comes up on top, not on the bottom, so I'm good with that. Unless things drastically change. I mean, I've worn the same size jeans since I was like in 8th grade. So,
well, look at you.
Yeah, the top. Top part, that's a little different.
Mine is not the same as it was in high school. Yeah. Of course, in high school, I was
40 pounds less. And if I lost 40 pounds right now, you'd be like, are you okay?
You need I wish I could lose 40 pounds.
I know, right?
I got my walking back on track. That's what this weather has been great for, is getting outside and getting exercise in.
I've been kind of slacking with exercising and stuff. And part of it is just the fact that, you know,
it's easy to make excuses.
Well, I mean,
like, I'm tired, or
it,
I'm busy.
It is. I mean, I am tired, and I've had other things going on. But at the same time, we've for the most part, we're out at night covering things Tuesdays and Friday nights, and then Saturdays. Like this weekend, we probably spent close to 10 hours in the vehicle getting to Duluth and back.
Yep.
And so, I mean, yeah, you know, I left my house at like 4:45 Saturday morning, and I think I got home after dropping stuff off here probably around 9-ish or so.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you're looking at 16-plus hours, you know. I mean, and don't get me wrong, this is exactly what James and I would like to do,
right.
So we get to go do it, so we're not complaining about that. It just makes for a long day.
Yep.
And then you come home and you have Sunday to kind of rest and relax, but then it's just like there's only one day. So we're thankful for those weekends when the Dragons are playing at home, because then
this weekend, homecoming.
Yep, homecoming. We'll get to sleep in. Still probably be over at the stadium by probably try to be there by 9 so we can get everything set up, and then we can go see the folks and other family members of the players, which is always a great time. They're always so gracious to us. And then we'll get to call the game. And then after that, I mean, Saturday will be busy. I already told my wife. I said, as soon as I get done with that, I got to hurry up and come home. Got to make sure I get the youngest and get the electric cattle prod out and get her going, because it's the home opener for the Fargo Force on Saturday as well, which should mean
she'll
have
in for that, because she loves to go to the Force.
We should have some tickets, I think, to be able to give away, which if it's a Saturday home opener, we should be able to give those away on Thursday.
Well, we will have to visit with our friend Greg to see
what. Well, according to the meetings I was in, we should have those as usual.
All right, stay tuned for that. Speaking of giveaways, too, the guys from Cars Tree Service are going to be joining us in studio Wednesday at 7:10, and they tell me that they have a $20 gift card that they will, $200 gift card.
I was going to say $20.
$200. $200 gift card that they will be giving away. Can be used on any treatments or fertilizer treatments. So Emerald Ash Borer treatments or fertilizer treatments. So be listening for an opportunity. I think we're going to do it like whoever calls in with the first question. When the guys from Cars Tree Service are on air with us at 7:10 on Wednesday, we will give you that $200 gift card.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Question of the morning. What is the most trouble you got into as a kid? 701-293-9000. Email studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Roger growing up in Chicago. A little rougher upbringing, maybe. You got caught breaking into the Brock's Candy Company. A month later, he got caught riding in a stolen car. He said being 15 was rough.
Did he at least get some of the good caramels from Brock's?
I'm sure they ate plenty of the candy.
Maybe the little ones with the white creamy center, too?
I like those nougat ones, and I found a recipe to make Christmas candy, like those big chunks of white nougats, and then they got like colors in them, like red and green, like dots.
Don't some of them have like walnuts or some other type of nut in them as well?
Not that one. Mm. Not that one.
I'm just giving you ideas, and then maybe you could coat it in chocolate, or, you know.
Why don't you make me a list
some
of
caramel.
What you want.
I mean, you could basically make your own candy bars for me. I'm just saying, I wouldn't be opposed to that.
Yeah. I think I have.
Although I'm trying to watch my figure, so don't.
I do have an Almond Joy.
So look at my head. Don't.
he's nodding his head. Please do. I do have an Almond Joy recipe, but you don't like coconut.
Pass.
And I think I can make Heath bars.
Oh, speaking of like food things, when we were at the old Wally World last night, somebody.
Not you.
Not me.
Bought pickles.
No, not pickles. Pickle-flavored wings. So they're like, instead of buffalo wings, they're like a hot dill pickle flavor or something. I'm like,
some people are obsessed with pickle flavoring.
I know, and I'm surprised my wife hasn't tried the pickle slushy or whatever at Sonic.
Yeah, that's weird.
So she bought those, and then we were in the aisle. They had different, like, they had bags of, like, and I just don't need too many things, you know, snacks and stuff. And they had dill pickle flavored almonds and cashews. And
yeah,
then,
those have been around a while.
Then in the trail mix section, they have a pickle-flavored one. Mm. And so based on the fact that the trail mix one was more in it than the cashews and almonds, so it was a better value, that's what she decided to buy. So she got two different pickle things yesterday, and I'm just like, ugh.
Yeah, that's not my favorite. I've had the dill pickle cashews once or twice, and I thought they were pretty good. But I'm not a huge dill pickle person either.
I'm just not a pickle person
at
all.
Some people love them.
Hard pass.
What's the most trouble you got into as a kid? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morning. If you want to weigh in on that, 701-293-9000. Email studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. A couple of Halloween troublemakers.
Uh-oh.
Bonnie throwing stuff in the street on Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Crash, three of us walking around on Halloween. Two of us bet when he couldn't throw a rock and hit a car that was driving away from us. He shattered the back window and had to pay to fix it. We called it, and I never did it, but I remember the older siblings. It was a bigger thing for them, and I don't know what they did, if they did anything, because my dad would have killed them if they got caught. But there was pranksters that would go out. They called it Fox Night, the night before Halloween, and just cause damage.
Mm.
Like they might do chalk or spray paint or stuff like
that. I never heard of that. I mean, there would be people. I mean, Grant, my hometown's so small that I think if you would have like TP'd or egged somebody's house, they probably would have figured out who did it anyway. So our hometown was so small, it was hard.
Would have got identified if you got
I think the most trouble I ever got in was when I was real little, in a sense. We were living in the trailer house at the time, and we lived in the trailer house until I think I was about five. And for a year, we lived in this other house while our house was being built. And I think the neighbor girl that I think was a year or two older than me, we were little kids, and we were throwing rocks at this garage that had windows. Mm-hmm. The little small ones, and we were throwing rocks at it, and then we broke a couple windows, and so my folks had to pay for it, because I mean I didn't have an allowance. I wasn't that old, that's really about it, really.
We didn't because my dad would have killed us if we got in trouble doing anything. So yeah, just chose not to.
Yeah.
Most trouble you got into as a kid, and I guess Fox Night, lesser known name for Mischief Night or Devil's Night, a night of pranks and petty vandalism that takes place the night before Halloween. Yeah, we were the recipients when my oldest daughter was in high school, 9th, 10th grade. Our front tree got toilet papered a couple times. It's not so bad until it rains.
When it
rained, that was such a mess.
You just have to let it stay up there for the most part. It depends how big your tree is, I suppose.
Yeah, it's a pretty sizable tree in our front yard, probably 10, 12 feet high or something like that. And I knew who the culprits were, too. What's the most trouble you got into as a kid? 701-293-9000. Email studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Go to the phone lines. Find our friend Polly in Idaho. Good morning, Polly.
Good morning, both of you.
Did you cause trouble as a kid?
It depends what you mean by trouble. I did a couple of TP houses, but and trees out in front of their houses. But the one that I got in the most trouble for was I was 14, and a guy that I had barely known bought a gallon of whiskey with another friend of his, and a gallon of whiskey for three kids is way too much. And so I drank, I don't know how much it was, but I was basically drunk, and I was supposed to be going across the street from where we were drinking at a cemetery over across the street to a hall where there was a dance. So somehow I made it across the street without getting killed. And next thing I know, I'm getting hauled off to the pokey. my mom and dad were called, I would assume, to let them know that I was okay.
Yeah.
I guess I had my student ID with me, but the ramifications was I had to clean the harbor. The garbage that people would dump over the side of their boat accidentally or intentionally.
Yeah.
So I'd be cleaning every slit there was in that harbor.
Ooh.
And it took 2 days to do that. So.
Ooh. Lesson learned, hopefully, after that.
Yes. Don't drink whiskey.
Don't get caught.
Anyway, it was an experience I can't forget to this day.
I bet not. Polly,
there's more to it, but I'm not going to let the goose out of it.
Okay. You have yourself a great Monday. Good hearing from you.
You too. See ya.
Yep. What's the most trouble you got into as a kid? 701-293-9000. Email studio at WDAYRadioNow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. It is 541. We're going to get your national news in now from ABC. Also check in with your ABC Sports. It is Monday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends WDAY Radio. Bonnie Mastotti, Jace Denman, and you. Chris Larson, love your news at the top of the hour. I think we're doing weather today. And Big Game James McCarty in with your WDAY Radio Sports. What's the most trouble you got into as a kid? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morn, 701-293-9000. Email studio at WDAYRadioNow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. I think Lawn Man got in a little bit of trouble. He said tipping someone's outhouse on Halloween.
Hopefully nobody was in it.
I hope not. That would be the worst.
That would be awful. Especially like today's day and age, the porta potty, and see if you're in it and someone knocks it over. Ugh, gross.
That'd be terrible. He says when he was a junior in high school, three of his buddies planned for a weekend of camping, decided he'd be the one who would bring some liquor, took a half pint of brandy from the cabinet, brought it, but they got busted, got suspended from school for 3 days.
For bringing brandy?
Mm-hmm.
What? That seems a bit harsh. Don't you think?
Well, you're not supposed to drink.
I understand that, but suspended from school? I mean, if you were doing that on a weekend and you're not at school?
Still got busted. It didn't matter. Like, if you were in sports and stuff, you'd get a 6-week suspension if you got busted.
From school or from sports?
From sports.
I'm saying, if you did something bad on the weekend, I can't imagine getting suspended from school.
He said, the funny part is when the superintendent said to my mom, this would be 3% off your son's grade, my mom turned to him, looked him in the eye, and said, what's 3% off an F? Maybe he had it at school with him.
I don't know. Maybe. That could be if he went to school. I don't know.
Showing his buddies.
It's still a bit harsh, though, I think.
3-day suspension.
Three-day suspension, yeah. I mean, get detention or something like that.
Detention, that would be the worst. Sitting in the principal's office or something.
Well, detention, sometimes the schools have it. It's in a separate room, and it's after school or something lame.
I think
so.
I only had detention once or twice, and it was probably for talking.
I got
our class wouldn't shut up, so we all ended up.
Yeah, I think I got it once or twice. Once for doing something dumb, and the other time, I don't even know. Maybe that was the only time. I forget, but it wasn't very often.
Yeah.
My mom worked at the school, so it's not like I could get into trouble while I was there. Plus, in a town where it's like, even if my mom didn't work there, there'd be somebody that worked at the school that knew my parents. It would be like, oh, Jace did this, and you're like. Come on, man.
I was just dumb. It was just like you had to go sit in a study hall like for, I don't know, it was an hour after school or 45 minutes after school. I know once for sure, and I think it was because our whole class was talking and we wouldn't, so he gave us all detention.
The only time my girls have gotten detention, it's been some sort of mix up in the system. It's like, oh, they've had too many absences or something like that, and so they got to spend, this many hours in detention or whatever, and it's like you contact the school. Oh, that's a mistake. That's for a different student, or something didn't get clicked right. And so you're like, okay, good, because, my girls never really got in any type of trouble like that. So
yeah, same.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the most trouble you got into as a kid. Love to hear your story. 701-293-9000. Email studio at WDAYRadioNow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Mark, he'd rather not say.
For legal purposes, I cannot disclose that information.
The list is too long. Our Facebook would have cut him off after his list. He'd have to make it so long. Doug says he and a buddy made a racetrack in his backyard so they could race their mini bikes.
Mm-hmm.
Mom was not happy when she got home from work on the lawn. Yeah, I could see that.
I mean, that's always, I probably have it too. I don't like my yard getting messed up. I don't,
like back in the day until we had the patio, I would prefer that we put the pool for the girls on the patio, because if you put those, even those like inflatable or plastic ones on the lawn, then they get a dead spot.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the one that got into more trouble in high school and somehow he made it out would have been my dad. I mean, there's the one story where they didn't have a football, so they took my aunt's teddy bear, cut off its legs or something like that, and used that as a football. My aunt was obviously a little girl at the time, or not too old, so she was not happy, which made grandma not happy. And if grandma's not happy, you're going to be in trouble.
Ooh.
Yeah, so dad was the troublemaker.
I think with my dad, so folks had a greenhouse, and then the greenhouse is covered with plastic, but it's not just regular plastic. It's a heavy-duty plastic.
It's super plastic.
Super plastic. My dad just got done replasticking the greenhouse one year. My brother came over. I don't know. I was probably 14. Lou's about 8 years older than me, so we both were old enough to know better, but Lou had a new target and a bow and arrow set.
Oh, no.
So we brought it over, and we were shooting them towards the greenhouse. That's just where we happened to be set up. Two of my arrows hit the greenhouse and punctured holes in the new plastic. Yeah. Lou got in more trouble than I did, but we got in trouble.
I remember having my Red Ryder BB gun, and I think I've told you before, we had those burn barrels to the north of our property. Just a couple old chemical barrels that Dad brought home from the elevator, and we put, you know, paper products in one, and we would light it on fire. That's why it was called the burn barrels. And the other one just had more or less recycling, and we would keep that with cans and bottles and stuff until it was full. And then you would take it out to the dump, and then Dad would bring a different one home. Well, in that one with the glasses and the cans and stuff like that, you'd set up a board across it, or both of them, and you would shoot the old jars and pickle jars or olive jars or whatever kind of jars you had, and cans and stuff like that. And a Red Ryder BB gun, it's not anything that's going to, you know, do serious damage. But obviously, if it hits you in the eye, that would be less than ideal.
Yeah.
So I wasn't shooting at my brother, but he was down
got in the way.
He was downrange, so he was off. He was setting up things, and I'm sitting there shooting it. So I got in trouble for shooting that because
of him.
No.
Oh.
It was just that I could have ricocheted off and hit him, glass could have, you know, shattered. Because if you hit a glass jar enough times with a little BB gun, eventually it'll break. So, you know, it wasn't the smartest idea, you know. I wasn't really aware of, you know, gun safety back in the day.
You learned. You got schooled.
Mm-hmm.
What's the most trouble you got into as a kid? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morning, if you want to weigh in on that. 701-293-9000. Email studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Lawnman did bring that booze to school, stashed it in the locker room where it was found.
That's the reason.
Yeah, he said it was 71, a little bit more harsh than the soccer approach for kids today.
Yeah, I think
there
so.
There was teachers that, not like me, but there was teachers they like hit and beat on some of the older kids that were.
I remember one teacher when we were in grade school grabbed one of my well, technically, he wasn't a classmate because they were a grade older, but our classes were so small, we were in the same room. And I remember him getting pulled out of the classroom for talking too much or whatever by his ear. So pretty old school when you think about it.
Oh, yeah. My friend Michelle got shoved out. And our school was old with very, very thick doors. She got shoved out. We called him Piggy. I can't remember what his name was. He was like our trigonometry professor. Being a smart aleck, got shoved out the door, desk and all, and those desks were heavy too. There was a lot of violence back in the day. And we were kind of outgrowing it because I was a kid in the 80s. But you're talking in the 70s and stuff.
Yeah.
Those kids got beat on a lot.
Sure.
Dave said the most trouble he got into as a kid, he decided to paint his mom's 1969 Dodge Charger with white enamel paint.
Uh-oh.
He was trying to be helpful because it had a stone chip on one side.
Oh, no.
Boy, what a spanking did he get after his dad finally caught him.
Oh, wow. That's a bit... That's not good.
A 69 Dodge Charger. Yeah, he's trying to be helpful.
I understand that, but... Not quite as helpful as you think you are, buddy.
No doubt. 5:56, we're going to check in with WDAY Ag Director Bridget Rado. If you liked last week, you're going to love this week. Just as nice. Even a little bit warmer. Could see a record
high.
It's going to be hot.
It's not a little bit warmer. It's a nice, a little bit warmer. That's a really positive spin on that, Bonnie.
Dean said, did send a note last night. Said near record high temps today and again on Thursday. Best chance of rain will be Friday with just a slim, slight chance on Wednesday. And the record high for this date is 88 degrees, and we could see a high right around 87. Yeah, that's hot.
So hot.
It is hot. Some of my plants are looking ragged in the hanging baskets, but part of them still look okay, so I continue to water them. But
yeah.
I'm kind of getting tired of watering my plants, but I don't want to, like...
We're all tired of you watering your plants.
Why?
Stay inside. You're out there watering your plants all the time.
No, it doesn't take
look long. At me. I'm watering my plants.
It's like probably a three-minute process to water.
That's 3 minutes too much, Bonnie.
I have a new... bush in front. We removed one that just never did anything, and it's one of those burning bushes, and it only has like three red leaves, but it might take more than a season to get it to turn. It's a really, really pretty fall.
Okay, Moses.
It's beautiful. Our friend Sharon has one. That's where I'm like, I need that for the front of my house because I wanted something showy because the one that we had there just didn't look good.
Bonnie and the burning bush.
But it might not turn color this year. Maybe it will. I mean,
well, I hope
it's been so hot. I think maybe it needs some cooler temperatures.
Like we talked to Dean last week, Bonnie, I'm just starting to get kind of worried that we're not going to have much fall.
Well, this is fall, but it's a
very warm fall, but I want fall. I don't want to have, fall summer, and then all of a sudden it switches to fall winter, and all of a sudden we're in the beginning of November, and it's like,
that I don't like
below freezing all the time, because then it becomes November, December, January, February, part of March, and we're just like, is it going to warm up anytime?
I think it might feel like fallish coming up next week.
I hope so.
Monday. 60s for the high, so that's good.
Yeah,
right?
That would be good. That'd be right
although
about there.
I think there's rain in the forecast. Looking at WDAYRadioNow.com, it looks like Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, there's a 30% chance of rain each day.
I hope it doesn't rain too much because we want to have nice weather for homecoming.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yeah. Is it Concordia homecoming too, or just MSU?
We'll have to ask James. I'd have to look at their schedule. I don't know their schedule off the top of my head. I just know that the Dragons are at home against Minot, and NDSU is on the road, at Illinois State.
Is it October 3rd through the, so October 3rd through the 5th. So, yeah, it is their homecoming, too. I thought James mentioned it, but
I couldn't remember.
Wasn't 100% sure on it. But, it looks like for both of them it's homecoming this coming weekend. We are WDAY Fargo. It is 6 o'clock. Good morning. 6:03, checking out our forecast from Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki, says we could see a record close to it today. The record for this date, 88 degrees.
You can feel the record.
I mean, we can feel the record. Set 88 degrees set last year. He's calling for a high of 87, but we'll see if we get warmer than that. Winds will be south-southeast 5 to 10, 59 our overnight low. Warm the next several days, mostly sunny, 85 for the high tomorrow, south-southeast winds 5 to 15, 57 for the low. Wednesday, partly sunny, breezy, 85 for the high. We'll see winds out of the south-southeast 15 to 30 with an overnight low around 63. Weekend looks like there's a chance for showers each day, cooling into the 60s for our highs Monday and Tuesday. Dean says there is a slight chance that we could see some rain on Wednesday, just a slim chance of that. Better chance will be Friday and into the weekend. Right now, partly cloudy. We have 59 degrees at our WDAY radio studios. High top I-29 in South Fargo. South, southeast winds 8 miles an hour. And we did top out yesterday at 86 degrees.
I knew it was hot out yesterday.
I went for two walks, one early in the morning and then another one. But by the time it would have got warm, I was already inside for the day. I think my second walk was probably by 2 o'clock, but then it cranked up a little bit more. But there was a little bit of a breeze yesterday, too.
It was pretty breezy out. It seemed like the wind picked up on when we were on our way back from Duluth on Saturday. And so yesterday I kind of noticed it was pretty breezy out.
But it's windier. Looks like the windier of the days is going to be Wednesday, where we'll see winds southeast 15 to 30 miles an hour. We did. Well, I didn't. I was going to. Mm-hmm. But then I nanny sat instead. Carly and Milos laid their sod on Friday and Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
How cool is this? Three neighbors. Three neighbors they never met before came over to help.
Oh, that's nice.
One across the street saw their sod delivered, and mm-hmm. he came over and asked if they needed help. And they're like, sure. And then another couple that lived on the backside of them down on the end, quite a ways away, they just ambled over and asked if they wanted help. They came back on Sunday, too, to rehelp.
Like, oh, that's nice.
How cool is that for neighbors that you haven't met before?
Yeah, I mean,
sign of a good neighborhood.
It's sign of a good neighborhood, yeah. I mean, there's been, I remember, come to find out he was a local pastor, and I mean, he's moved out of the neighborhood, moved out of town, but his dad was in town because his, it was wintertime, and I don't know if they didn't have a snowblower or whatnot, but they were down the street on the other side where some of the twin homes are. And we had just moved to North Dakota, and I think, I don't remember if this was the first full winter or if it was the, I don't think it was the end of the winter in 2007, because we got here in February, so I don't think we had much snow then. But there was one of those times, either that winter or the next winter in 08 then, I'm just out there, and it was, we had a lot of snow. You know, it was, you know, piled up in our driveway due to the wind and stuff like that, like 2 to 3 feet deep. So I'm just out there with my shovel, shoveling away, just kind of happy because I didn't have a snowblower yet. Didn't know the neighbors probably really good enough to ask mm-hmm. to borrow theirs. And so I'm just out there shoveling away because, you know, I hadn't had to deal with snow in a decade or more since I'd lived in Kansas and Arizona and Georgia and California. And all of a sudden, this guy's dad, Brett's dad, comes over and is like, hey, do you, you know, need some help with this? And he's got this snowblower. I'm like, sure. I mean, he didn't have to, but he did it. And, you know, there's been other times when we've had another neighbor around the corner. He had a snowblower on the front of his lawn tractor, and he would just go around doing everybody's yard because there's something about it when you've got a good snowblower, and I have a good snowblower.
Especially
now.
At the beginning of the season, right? Yeah. You're excited to get out there
well,
and use it.
I mean, there's times when I finally bought a used one, and it worked pretty well, and it was one of the bigger ones in the neighborhood. I just would... You know, if there was just even a little bit of snow, I'd go out and snowblow my driveway, and I would do the next door neighbors on both sides mm-hmm. just because I got a chance to use my snowblower. You know, so I talk all the time about my next door neighbor that continues to mow my front yard for me because they have the riding lawnmower. But yesterday, for some reason, his son was out there with the push mower and they did the front yards or whatever. I'm like, all right, cool. I mean, if you guys want to do it, I'm not going to complain about it at all. Yeah. So, I mean, thank you, Tristan, for mowing the front yard.
Gotta love good neighbors. Yeah. I used to, well, I still shovel our driveway if it's 4 inches mm-hmm. or less, but I always shoveled our neighbor's driveway, too.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean,
because it's like I look at it as good exercise.
Oh, yeah. And I, you know, especially when we first moved there, I did too. But yeah, when we first moved there, you know, our neighbors to the north, they've become good friends of ours. They're really helpful. And the neighbors that were there before, Brooke and Monty, we had Tad and Darla, and I remember them seeing them out there because we found out we had girls that were basically 2 weeks apart in age when they were both, it was before their second birthday, so they were like a little over a year and a half old, and it's like, hey, our daughter's the same age as yours, let's, you know, have them play together, and so they always invited us over, and they had a hot tub at the time or whatever, and
gotta love good neighbors.
Yeah. And so it was super nice. I mean, they're like, we shoveled a path if you guys want to come over to hot tub or whatever.
There you go, making it easy for
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
6:09, we're going to get your national news in now from ABC. Then Big Game James McCarty's in with your WDAY Radio Sports. 6:13, a local veteran-owned company has come out with a new beverage called God Bless Vodka. It's a ready-to-drink vodka with natural flavors, sugar-free, no artificial colors, zero carbs, only 115 calories, ready-to-drink with 6% alcohol.
Two flavors currently being available, blue raspberry lemonade and regular lemonade. They come in 4 packs of 12-ounce cans. And you know what? This is more than just a name for the company. God Bless Vodka is a salute to country, character, and those who serve. It is veteran-owned and operated. They have one mission, to create something bold, authentic, and unapologetically American. Look for it at your favorite liquor store. Remember to salute and give thanks to those who serve our military and first responders out there for us every single day. This message is brought to you by Beverage Wholesalers in Fargo.
6:14, Big Game James McCarty has arrived with your WDAY Radio Sports. Good morning, Jimmy.
Good morning. Minnesota Vikings, they had a couple of touchdowns in the fourth quarter in Dublin against the Steelers yesterday, but ultimately was not enough as they fall 24-21. The comeback bid falls short. Carson Wentz completed 30 of 46 passes for 350 yards and a couple touchdowns. He did also have two interceptions. You had Justin Jefferson lead the receiving corps with 10 catches for 126 yards. Xavier Scott, Jalen Naylor, each with receiving touchdowns in that one. The Vikings do fall to 2-2 on the season. They'll battle the Cleveland Browns in London next Sunday at 8:30 in the morning on NFL Network. College football over the weekend saw North Dakota State steamroll South Dakota 51-13 in their homecoming. MSUM falling to a top 20 Minnesota Duluth squad 28-14. Concordia College overcoming a 7-0 deficit to edge out Gustavus Adolphus 14-13 as they enter homecoming week. And then Minnesota taking down Rutgers 31-28. WNBA semifinals last night, the Minnesota Lynx fall into the Phoenix Mercury 86-81. They were up 13 entering the fourth quarter, but were outscored 31-13 in the final 10 minutes. Kayla McBride paced the way with 31 points for Minnesota, who was without Nafisa Collier, who suffered an ankle injury in the closing seconds of Game 3, and head coach Cheryl Reeve, who was suspended by the WNBA for her Game 3 ejection. Phoenix did win that series 3-1, so they advanced to the WNBA Championship Series 4, the first time since 2021. Last night, though, the Fever would take down the Aces 90-83, led by 25 points from Kelsey Mitchell, so that series tied up at 2 games apiece. Game 5, that decisive Game 5, will be in Vegas Tuesday night at 8:30 on ESPN2. On the diamond, the Minnesota Twins were walked off by the Philadelphia Phillies 2-1 in 10 innings in their 2025 season finale. Simeon Wood Richardson would be give up 0 runs over 6 innings with 9 strikeouts. He was tremendous. It was a no decision for him, though. The Cody Lauritsen would give up the walk-off hit with 2 outs in the 10th inning. Ryan Jeffers drove in Minnesota's lone run in that one. Twins ended the year with a record of 70-92 as they look ahead now to 2026. Minnesota Wild dropped in their 4th preseason game to the Chicago Blackhawks 4-1 on Sunday afternoon. They're now 1-2-1 in preseason play. They will host the Winnipeg Jets Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. That'll be their 5th of 6 preseason matchups. And as we look at the rest of the week here on our family of stations here on WDAY Radio, tonight primetime sports at 6:30. Jason and I will look to recap, just wrap up the twin season and also recap a weekend of college and NFL football. Tuesday night, we have high school volleyball at 7 p.m. with Fargo North battling Fargo South. Friday evening, Moorhead Spud football heads to Eden Prairie at 6 p.m. And then on Saturday afternoon, Cobber football hosting St. Scholastica for their homecoming at 1 p.m. for that matchup. Over on our sister station, The Flag, we have the top 2 teams in the state of North Dakota in high school football. Shanley hosting Fargo Davies on Friday evening at 7. And then on Saturday, Dragon football returns home to Nemzik Stadium to take on Minot State for homecoming with an 11 a.m. pregame and a noon kickoff for that one. That's all we got for sports
here. We
got
a pick six winner, though. It was a three-way tie. Came down to a tiebreaker question or score.
Well, really, it came down to that Vikings and Steelers matchup. There was a couple people that picked the Oregon-Penn State game, right? A couple that picked them wrong. You're kind of hovering around that Dragon and Bulldog matchup. But, Keith Samuels winning this week. It's pick six,
nice.
So congratulations to him. He was almost dead on that score. He picked the Steelers 27-24 over the Vikings. It was he just gave each team an extra field goal. I mean, that's pretty darn close. So it's impressive because I picked Vikings 20-17, and in the first half I was starting to think things were not going to go anywhere near the way I thought, but the defense has really held in the second half, and it was closer than I think the first half would have let us off to believe.
Yeah, nice participation in the pick six, too. We had close to 30 people taking part this week. So if you want to take part in our pick six competition, Friday morning, 8:10, Big Game James McCarty serves up 6 games. You also have to give the score of the Vikings game, too. And whoever gets the most picks right and the closest on the Vikings score, if we need it for a tiebreaker, wins a great prize, and we're serving up hats, right? WDAY caps?
Yep. Nice. Get some WDAY radio caps.
Very nice.
And we'll get him hooked up with one here this week.
Did you see, I'm sure you saw because he sees everything. I sent him a sports stuff. Did you see that the quarterback for the Steelers, I think he's a backup, Skylar Thompson, got robbed, basically mugged and robbed over in
Ireland?
He's
also, he's with the team, but he wasn't on the active roster. He's on the injured reserve right now.
Is he a backup quarterback?
Yeah, he's a backup quarterback. So he's literally not healthy enough to suit up for a game. And then he got robbed in Dublin. Unfortunate for him. Very unfortunate.
Yeah, it sounds like he's okay. He had some minor injuries, but...
I believe it happened Friday.
Yeah, yeah. Are you wandering around by yourself? Wouldn't you be with a couple buddies?
I suppose you're just kind of thinking you're just going to go grab a meal real quick.
Maybe.
Or you're going to go check out some scenery or go do sightseeing or whatnot. And evidently it just went sideways for him.
I guess.
I don't know if he had a flashy watch on or what, but yeah, something caught the attention of a criminal. Yeah.
They're not saying much about it other than, yes, it did happen. All right, and our pick 6-2 brought to you by Precision Concrete Cutters, Ramjack North, your number one pick for complete foundation repair, egress window installation, and replacement. We do know who is going to be headlining the next Super Bowl. We'll talk about that coming up next. 6:22, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. No, Steely Dan is not going to be performing at halftime of the Super Bowl. Did you see, Jace, who the halftime headliner is going to be?
Yes, I did.
I thought it was an unusual pick only because he doesn't sing in English. He sings in Spanish. Bad Bunny. Set to headline the halftime show.
Yeah. But he's popular.
He is.
I don't really know his
stuff. I know
stuff.
Of him, and yeah. I had to sample it this morning, and I didn't play it because a lot of them have explicit lyrics, but I sampled it this morning, and he sounds like he's really good. But.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've seen him on, I think he was on as maybe a musical guest or something on Saturday Night Live. I might have seen him there. I think he played a role. I think he had a role in the new Adam Sandler movie on Netflix, which I haven't seen yet.
You're right. Yeah.
He's had
a few collabs, but he did Spanish rap in these collaborations.
They're going to, well. Maybe he's got other stuff that we don't need. Maybe he's not always rapping. I don't know. I have no idea.
I can't find anything. I googled on it too, and I asked James, and he goes, Bad Bunny's music is almost exclusively in Spanish, though he has included brief English phrases in a few collaborations, but he remains committed to singing Spanish because it's his native language and language of his culture. I get that, but to be performing at the Super Bowl and nobody's...
This is America. We speak English.
No, I'm not saying that, but you're not... I mean, are you going to know the songs, the lyrics, and what he sang?
I won't, but then again, you could have any performer that is 30 years younger than me or at least 20 years younger than
me. You won't know the lyrics anyway.
I won't know the lyrics anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, if there's popular songs that end up on in social media, might say they end up in other, you know, on TV or something like that, then you might recognize it. But, you know, this is, you know, the NFL and the Super Bowl itself, they're not only trying to appeal to an audience here, they're trying to appeal to a worldwide audience.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you think about it, and you're like, no, Jace, you're way off on it. No, it's true, because if you look at what just happened this weekend, you literally had the Vikings and Steelers playing in Ireland, the first ever NFL regular season game in Ireland. Vikings are staying over there to play next week in London. There was already a game in Brazil this year there. I believe there should be another game in Germany. I don't remember if there's a game in Spain this year or not, but they're putting these games out there to increase their market. And sometime in the future, I don't know when or where it will be. My guess would be that it would be someplace in London. But eventually we're going to have a Super Bowl that's going to be across the pond. And that's just a fact of because the NFL, even though it's a football, you know, American football is like our sport, but it's about money. It's about increasing revenue. It's about trying to get as big an audience as possible. And if they can get a stadium that holds 100,000 people somewhere in Europe or something like that to have more people show up to it, I mean, I think the NFL will eventually do it because the NFL is, you know, when it comes to the owners and stuff, it's a business. So, I mean, I think getting Bad Bunny there, I think they're just trying to get a big name because, you know, like you said, you know, Steely Dan's not playing it. I mean, you know, Bruce Springsteen has already, I think, played the Super Bowl. I mean,
I haven't liked probably the last 6-7 years of.
I mean, sometimes they're kind of fun. I mean, you had, you know, what was the one?
Old
was it at
Tech?
What was
one?
That? Well, I like that one just because of some of the guys. It was like in the 1990s when I was a, you know, kid or whatever, but. Like you had the Lady Gaga, I can't remember if that was in Texas Stadium or what, where she like rappelled down from the roof of the building to start her set or whatever. I mean, some of that stuff is kind of fun, but for the most part, it's just the thing I don't like about it as a football fan is that it extends the halftime longer than it normally is. I would prefer they just...
You gotta pay those expensive commercials.
I know, but just get back to the game. That's why I'm watching the Super Bowls, for the football game. I mean, the commercials are fun because the advertisers come up with some new and cool commercials, and sometimes they're a lot of fun, but... You know, sometimes it's just like, I just want to watch the game. I don't care about the other stuff.
I don't know. I thought the selection is interesting, and it will be a talking point, I'm sure, other radio stations too. Jay-Z's company has partnered with the NFL and Roc Nation since 2019 to book the Super Bowl things. Yeah. The interesting thing about this is Bad Bunny has previously said he would not book gigs in the United States for fear of ICE raids.
Oh.
So he hasn't even been performing or touring here. He's scheduled in Costa Rica, Mexico, Spain, England, and Italy. But he's going to be the halftime performance at the Super Bowl 60. That'll be February 8th at Levi's Stadium, Santa Clara, California, home of the 49ers.
Yeah.
I did Google what I thought, what percentage, because like I said, because he doesn't sing anything in English. It's all in Spanish, which is fine, but... You think you'd want to appeal to the masses when you do a halftime show. What percentage of the U.S. do you think speaks in Spanish? I thought it was a lot higher than it is.
33.
No, 14%.
That seems low.
I thought it was higher than that, too.
Those are the only people that answer the question, though.
What question?
What is the language you speak predominantly in your household?
Well, usually when you're on a tree or whatever, do you want this message in Spanish or whatever, you have to hit... Certain numbers or English or whatever, too.
They don't want to be deported nowadays, so they don't press that.
Oh, I see.
Now, out in California, out in where the 49ers play, I mean, I lived out in Northern California for a number of years, and there's obviously a large Hispanic American population there. There's a large Asian American population out there. It's very diverse out there. But like I said, I think the reason for picking Bad Bunny is based on how popular he is worldwide, not just in the U.S. And I know he's popular in the U.S., but sometimes when it comes to music, how many times in our life have we enjoyed a song but we haven't really listened to the lyrics? I've just always found myself listening to the lyrics to find out what the song is about, because that can affect how much I like the song or not. You know what I mean? And so I think there are sometimes, you know, the NFL's just trying to book a big name for it, you know, because you want to, this year's halftime entertainment is Paul Simon. He's a great artist, but, I mean, do you really want him for the halftime show of the Super Bowl?
A lot of the younger generation has no idea.
Here's the thing. No matter who they pick, there's going to be a section of people that are not going to be happy about it. There's going to be people like, I didn't even watch the halftime show. I'm not watching the halftime show because XYZ is performing. Yeah. That happens every single year. If it's the rappers... performing out in Los Angeles, if it is the Super Bowl in Tampa Bay where you had The Weeknd performing, there's going to be people that are not going to watch the performance because
can't please everybody. That's
because
true.
Of that performer's religious, personal beliefs, political beliefs, whatever the case is, there's going to be somebody that's going to say, that you watch, if it's Bad Bunny this year, which they're saying it is, and he's been confirmed, there are going to be people after the Super Bowl, they're going to say that Super Bowl show was the best I've ever seen, and there's going to be the other half that's going to say, this is the worst one I've ever seen. I'm never watching the NFL again.
He is a big deal worldwide, and like I said, I sampled his music this morning, and he sounds good.
What is the Spanish-speaking population of the world?
I just Googled that, too.
And how much is that?
Less than the U.S. U.S. is 14%. About 7.5% to 8% of the world's population speaks Spanish.
What's the most popular one? English, I suppose? Because most people... We talked to one of the Fargo Force players for our In the Box interviews. He didn't know any English when he came over. Well, he knew a little bit English because there's an English class that he took back home. But he came over here from, I believe it was Slovakia. And so he had to learn. He learned more English here. And he's been here. This is his second year with the force. So, I mean, he's learned enough to obviously talk to us for interviews and stuff.
You are right. English most spoken overall in the world, 1.5 billion, followed by Mandarin Chinese.
Well, and there's
over
more.
900 people.
Well, I think there's more than 900
people.
Excuse
me, 900 million. 900 million.
That is 900 million is more than 900 people. You said more than 900, so you're good.
English 1.5. Mandarin Chinese. When I look at the list they have here, 1.1 billion.
I wonder if the ones when they say
by Hindu and then Spanish.
But is this the most widely spoken that people know, or is it like 1.5 billion people that is their first language?
It says, It depends on the
because it would be Canada, U.S., you know, England, Ireland,
English
Scotland,
is the most spoken
Australian.
Overall with 1.5 billion, while Mandarin Chinese has the most native speakers with over.
See, most native.
Yeah.
See, 1.5 billion people know English. Mm-hmm. That's what makes it the most popular.
Mm-hmm. It is 6:32. 6:35, he made it. He figured he'd be kind of sad if he didn't get to hang out with us this morning.
That's why. Yeah, that's why.
You weren't feeling very good this weekend.
Sick and better. Yeah, it was weird. Chills and just, ugh. Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of stuff
going
on.
I didn't even eat. I couldn't, like, nothing tasted. I couldn't even eat. And if you know, that's not like me. So
yeah. We're eaters around these parts.
Yeah, man. So, well, good. I need to lose some weight anyways.
I feel better this morning.
A little bit. Well, I got to get better. Cubs are in the playoffs. It's the first time since
that's awesome.
2020. And now, are they going to get far? Probably not. But if they can get past the first round, I'd be happy. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens.
Well, good luck to them.
Yeah, but speaking of baseball, we've got summer-like weather. This is baseball weather this week. I mean, this is not typical. Obviously, for the end of September going into October this week, we've got, I think we've got a chance for a couple of records this week, one of them being today. And currently, temperatures are right around the 60-degree mark across most of the area, a few 50s mixed in. And looks like we're going to hit a high today. I've revised it to 88. Our record is 88. And that was set back just last year. You know, short-term memory, because I don't remember being this warm just last year. But, yeah, our record of 88 was set last year, and I think we'll at least tie that. There is a slight chance we could go above it, but we'll go with 88. With south-southeast winds today about 10 to 20. Clear skies tonight down to about 60 with southeast winds 10 to 15. And another breezy one tomorrow, south-southeast 10 to 20, and highs in the mid-80s. We'll continue in the mid-80s for Wednesday. A very slight chance of an isolated sprinkle or shower on Wednesday with just a few more clouds around, but I'm not really expecting much out of that. And then Thursday, calling for a high of 86. Our record on Thursday is 87. So we could have come close to another record on Thursday. And then things start to change Friday and into the upcoming weekend. I'll have details on that. And we'll take a peek into next week, which looks a lot different as well. I think we're going to start feeling like October. Our normal highs this time of the year are right around 66. Mm. And normal morning lows are about 43. And I think as we get into next week, we're going to be reminded it's October.
Are we in that stall pattern that you talked about? Was it because of Hurricane Imelda?
Well, here's the thing.
Canada?
So we've got to think, you ever heard of the Fujiwara effect?
Nope.
Nope. What do you give me that cross eye for? Like I'm making stuff up.
Sounds like you're making something up.
So Hurricane Umberto, intensified so it's so strong that it is affecting what is not yet to become Hurricane Imelda but will be, and instead of letting Hurricane Imelda go up into the East Coast, it is because Hurricane Umberto is out towards Bermuda.
Right.
It's actually so strong it is basically sucking in or pulling Hurricane Imelda along with it out to sea instead of letting it go its own separate course into the mid-Atlantic states.
Does that happen often?
No. So, yeah, this is a kind of a rare event. And what that does, and that does affect our weather because it lets these weather systems move along a little more progressive than instead of, like Bonnie said, we were expecting kind of that stalling pattern.
Right.
So that's good news for us, and good news for the southeast.
Right,
yeah. That spares areas of the Carolinas. Mm-hmm. So that's good news for them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So are these hurricanes going to be out in the middle of nowhere, or
will be out? I mean, they'll affect areas of Bermuda. They could affect Bermuda. Bermuda could get hit by this, but other than that, you know, the St. Thomas. I mean, they're getting some of the effects of it now, but as it intensifies, it'll be out to sea.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Well, at least it's out to sea. So,
see, you can impress your friends. Say, have you ever heard of the Fujiwara effect?
You know, I just was talking.
They
about,
might call BS. Like
maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. I was just going to tell people that Umberto and Eleanor were like my neighbors back in California.
Eleanor.
loud and troublesome?
Yeah, no, they just usually had a, you know, siesta every day or whatever.
Okay.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Flatland Music Flashback, that's going to be coming your way 6:56 this morning, brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. We're going to be showcasing this artist He had several hit songs during his young lifetime. Tragically, he got killed in a crash when he was 21. But he's originally from Albert Lea, Minnesota, and you're going to recognize his big hit coming up, 656 Flatland Music Flashback. 639, we're going to get your national news in from ABC. Check in with the American Ag Network, and Big Game James McCarty has your WDAY Radio Sports. 6:45, time to check out your WDAY Radio Sports with Big Game James McCarty.
On the ice last night, the Minnesota Wild fell 4-1 to the Chicago Blackhawks. They're now 1-2-1 in exhibition play. They'll have their fifth of six preseason matchups tomorrow night or Tuesday evening in St. Paul when they host the Winnipeg Jets at 7 o'clock. Minnesota Twins walked off by the Philadelphia Phillies 2-1 in 10 innings of their 2025 season finale. Twins ended the year with a record of 70-92. Minnesota Lynx, their season came to an end last night when they fell to the Phoenix Mercury 86-81. They were up 13 entering the fourth, but were outscored 31-13 in the final 10 minutes. They were without Nafisa Collier, who suffered an ankle injury in the closing seconds of their Game 3 loss, along with they were also without head coach Cheryl Reeve, who was suspended by the WNBA for her Game 3 ejection. Phoenix entering or wins the series 3-1, and they're also in the championship series for the first time since 2021. Last night, the Indiana Fever would take down the Las Vegas Aces 90-83. That will tie up that series at 2 games apiece, making a decisive Game 5 on Tuesday night at 8:30 in Vegas on ESPN2. And the Minnesota Vikings, well, they had a comeback bid fall short to the Steelers in Dublin. They had 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. They just couldn't get a scoring drive in that final closing seconds of that matchup. They fall 24-21. Carson Wentz, 350 yards through the air with 2 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. Vikings are now 2-2 on the season. They'll remain overseas when they battle the Cleveland Browns in London this upcoming Sunday at 8:30 in the morning with coverage available on NFL Network. And as we look at college football over the weekend, North Dakota State rolling South Dakota 51-13. MSUM falling to Minnesota Duluth 28-14. Concordia College edged out Gustavus 14-13. And Minnesota over Rutgers 31-28. Tonight, primetime sports at 6:30. Jason and I will recap the weekend, give you a final bow on the Twins season, as there's not much to talk about there with them unless you're frustrated. Yeah. And then, of course, we'll also recap the football weekend with the Vikings overseas. Sports this hour brought to you by Prairie Supply. Contact the concrete experts at Prairie Supply, the contractor's headquarters. For more info, go to prairiesupply.com.
And again, congratulations to Keith S. He won our pick 6 this week, brought to you by Precision Concrete Cutters Ram Jack North. He gets a WDAY cap. Sent you an email, Keith. Look for that on further details. And if you want to win, get yourself involved. Pick 6, we do it every Friday right around 8:10 here on Bonnie and Friends. It was on this date in entertainment history. This band went to number 1. It was the first of 2 U.S. chart toppers for them. They never got much critical acclaim, but they were a crowd favorite, packing arenas and stadiums around the world. Find out who it is. Flatland Music Flashback coming up right around 6:56. It is 6:48. We're heading back to the American Ag Network shortly.
It was on this date in 1990. This band went to number 1 on the pop charts. They are the sons of a famous musician. We'll find out who that is and what song they had at this time back in 1990. That'll be coming up next on Flatland Music Flashback.
In 1958, Summertime Blues by Eddie Cochran peaked at number 8. Cochran taught himself how to play guitar. He had several hits during his young lifetime and is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
The Albert Lea, Minnesota native, was killed in 1960 when a speeding taxi he was riding in hit a light pole while on tour in the UK. He was just 21.
Yeah.
In 1973, Grand Funk Railroad went to number 1 with We're an American Band. It was the group's first of 2 U.S. chart toppers. Locomotion also hit number 1.
The band never got much critical acclaim, but they were a crowd favorite, packing arenas and stadiums around the world.
In 1979... Bad Case of Loving You by Robert Palmer picked at number 14. The English singer and songwriter was known for his distinctive soulful voice and his eclectic mix of styles on his albums.
Yeah, blues, jazz, pop, rock, reggae, he did it all. 15 of his songs made the Billboard Hot 100, including this one right here, 1986 hit, Addicted to Love. Palmer died of a heart attack in 2003. He was just 54.
1984? Prince and the Revolution started a 2-week run at number 1 with Let's Go Crazy, the best goal song ever. hope the Minnesota Wild continue to use that. The song, which was the opening track on both the album and the film Purple Rain, it was Prince's second number one hit.
The film grossed more than $80 million at the box office and was a cult classic. 47 of Prince's songs made the Billboard Hot 100, including 19 top tens and 5 number ones.
That doesn't even count the one that he wrote. Ones he wrote.
Yeah, he wrote a lot for other artists, you bet.
Back in 1990... two long blonde-haired twins, known as Nelson, went to number one on the pop charts with Love and Affection. Ricky Nelson's twin sons, Matthew and Gunnar, make up Nelson. They also perform as Ricky Nelson Remembered as a tribute to their father.
Yeah. The Nelsons are listed in the Guinness Book of World Records as the only family to reach number one record status in three successive generations, beginning with their grandparents, Ozzie and Harriet Nelson.
Ah, huh. Yes.
Good tune.
Having
good
a birthday today... multi-Grammy and Emmy-winning composer Mike Post is 81. You'll likely recognize his work because he composed the theme songs to many hit shows.
Rockford Files being one of them, as well as Hill Street Blues, NYPD Blue, Greatest American Hero, Magnum P.I., Law & Order, Quantum Leap, and more. Watch them all.
Yeah.
If you're having a birthday today, happy birthday to you, too. Flatland Music Flashback is brought to you by Flatland Guitar, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. It is 7 o'clock. We are WDAY Fargo. 7:03, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is here now with a check on our forecast.
And welcome to June 15th today.
It feels
today.
Like it, kinda,
man. Yeah, it is. It doesn't feel like the end of September, that's for sure. Currently, we're at 62 degrees. That's closer to where we should be for an afternoon high, if you want to put that into perspective. We're a little cooler outside of the Fargo-Moorhead area. We're in the low 50s, 51 in DL, 53 in Grand Forks, and 57 in Wahpeton. Now, we're looking for a high today of 88. The record is 88, and that was set just last year. I think we'll at least tie that. I wouldn't be surprised if we go above it, but we'll go for 88 right now with south-southeast winds. At about 10 to 15. Clear skies tonight, back down to about 60, a little cooler outside of the FM area with southeast winds 10 to 15. And rinse and repeat, another sunny day on Tuesday. Highs in the mid-80s. A few more clouds on Wednesday. We'll call it partly cloudy on Wednesday. Highs in the mid-80s. Could see a sprinkle Wednesday, but don't look for much. And then as we head into Thursday, more sunshine, 86. The record on Thursday is 87. So we'll be close to that. And then a few more clouds on Friday. A scattered shower can't be ruled out with highs right around 80 or so. And then it does cool off over the weekend. Now, Saturday not being too bad. Low 70s with partly cloudy skies and a chance for an isolated shower on Saturday. But a better chance of rain on Sunday. If you have weekend plans, I would schedule them on Saturday. Sunday does look wet with temperatures in the 60s. And we'll continue those showers into Monday. Taking a sneak peek into next week. It does look like we'll have a few storm systems coming through, a little more active weather pattern next week with much cooler weather. If you believe our European model, which has been the more accurate model, we'll have our first widespread freeze with much colder weather. In fact, our European model is bringing snow into the northern part of the state by the middle or end of next week. I think that might be pushing it, but the trend is much colder weather. Which it should be.
The duck hunters are waiting for
thank
it.
You. Yes, I was just going to say that.
And the bow hunters,
yes.
Too, I guess.
So that's good news as we see a pattern change as we head into next week with much cooler weather and also a little stormier weather heading our way. And let's see. Next week does start our new LRC cycle.
Okay. Oh.
So that's what we watch for. Hey, all right, we're starting off the new LRC cycle. Are we starting it off on a stormier note? Is it going to be a quiet start? And it looks like we're going to start that off on a little bit of a stormier note, the new LRC cycle. So we'll see how that kind of unfolds through the month of October. But yeah, enjoy this week. I can almost literally guarantee you this is the last week of 80s, where almost every day is in the 80s. Mm-hmm. Until spring. We're not going to see a full week of 80s from here on out.
Find your jackets next week.
And like you said, it's October. The hunters, we want to see some cooler weather come in here.
Yeah. Want to get those ducks moving and the bucks.
Get all your ducks
moving.
In a row.
Exactly.
Right?
There you go. Dean's Weather this hour has been brought to you by the North Dakota Petroleum Foundation. It is 7:06. You've spent too long hiding your smile, avoiding photos, avoiding laughter, maybe even avoiding life. At Dakota Implant and Sedation Center, that changes in just one day.
Their same-day smile transformations help you walk in with hesitation and walk out with confidence. With gentle sedation and a compassionate team and flexible financing, they remove every barrier between you and the smile you deserve. Call Dakota Implant and Sedation Center in Fargo or visit dakotaimplant.com. Don't wait to smile like you mean it.
There you go. 7:07, we're going to get your national news in from ABC, then Big Game James McCarty with your WDAY Radio Sports. 7:11, Big Game James McCarty's here with your WDAY Radio Sports.
Minnesota Vikings scoring two touchdowns in the fourth quarter in Dublin on Sunday morning, and it was just too little too late. They fall to the Steelers 24-21, dropping to 2-2 on the season. Carson Wentz did throw for 350 yards, two touchdowns and two interceptions in that matchup. Eric Wilson and Josh Metellus tallying nine tackles apiece in the loss. Vikings remain overseas, and they take on the Cleveland Browns in London this upcoming Sunday at 8:30 in the morning on NFL Network. College football over the weekend saw North Dakota State take down South Dakota 51-13. MSUM falling to Minnesota Duluth 28-14. Concordia College over Gustavus Adolphus 14-13. And Minnesota over Rutgers 31-28. Minnesota Lynx were up 13 points in the fourth quarter of Game 4 of their WNBA playoff semifinal series, and they would be outscored 31-13 in the final 10 minutes, falling 86-81. Kayla McBride had 31 points, but the Lynx eliminated from playoff contention as Phoenix wins this series 3-1. Minnesota was without star Nafisa Collier, who suffered an ankle injury in the closing seconds of Game 3, along with head coach Cheryl Reeve, who was suspended by the league for her Game 3 ejection. The other semifinal series saw the Indiana Fever defeat the Las Vegas Aces 90-83 last night. That series tied up at two games apiece. A decisive Game 5 will be in Vegas on Tuesday night at 8:30 on ESPN2 with Phoenix going to the championship series for the first time since 2021. The winner of that Vegas and Indiana series will square off with them in that best-of-seven championship series. Minnesota Twins walked off by the Philadelphia Phillies 2-1 in 10 innings in their 2025 season finale. Simeon Woods-Richardson tossing six scoreless innings with nine strikeouts and a no decision. Bullpen will give up two runs over the final 3 2/3 innings of work, and ultimately they would fall on that one. So 70-92 is the record for the Twins as they end the 2025 campaign. On our family of stations here the rest of the week, we're going to have tonight primetime sports at 6:30. Jason and I recap on the weekend. And Tuesday night, here on WDAY Radio, high school volleyball, Fargo North battles Fargo South at 7 p.m. Friday evening, Moorhead Spud football goes to Eden Prairie at 6 p.m., and Cobber football will remain home against St. Scholastica for homecoming at 1 p.m. on Saturday afternoon. Larry Knutson on the call for the Spud and Cobber matchups this week. Our sister station, the Flag, will see the top two teams in North Dakota's 3A division in high school football, Shanley and Davies, on Friday night at 7 o'clock. And then on Saturday, Dragon football returning home to battle Minot State for homecoming with an 11 a.m. pregame and a noon kickoff with Jason on the call for that one. Sports this hour brought to you by Sun Electric. If your company, facility, or residence needs some electrical service done, count on Sun Electric to get it done right. Have an electrical problem, they have the power to solve it online at sunelectricnd.com.
7:14, the guys from Cars Tree Service will be joining us in studio Wednesday at 7:10. If you have any tree-related questions, call in and get them answered by the experts. Also, they're going to give away a $200 gift card.
Yeah, for plant health, you know, anything they can use, it can be used on treatments or fertilizer treatments that they provide. And obviously, Bonnie, as we get to winter, it's a great time to schedule your winter pruning or large backyard removals, which might be easier during the frozen ground. So obviously you can put that $200 gift card to that. So we're going to get a winner for that on Wednesday.
Yeah, looking forward to that. You did mention to me a coffee day, and I did.
Yeah.
It's like, yep, I remember seeing something this morning. Today is National Coffee Day, and for all you coffee drinkers out there, good news. A new review published in Biochemical Pharmacology adds to evidence.
So what?
Biochemical Pharmacology.
Oh, yeah. I read about that all the time.
Well, it's like smart people have done this study, and it's in there.
Why didn't you say that?
It suggests that drinking coffee regularly can help protect and restore liver health. Consuming coffee believed to slow liver's progression to fibrosis, cirrhosis, and hepatocellular carcinoma because of its mix of bioactive compounds. Coffee also helps balance your gut microbiome. A review also points out beneficial effects of coffee are dose-dependent. Consuming over 5 cups of coffee daily can increase bad cholesterol levels. I think 3 cups is kind of what I've seen in the past. Like three
a cup
of
is still, is we're talking about 8 ounces, right?
Yeah.
Because some people have 2 cups, but they're not 8 ounce cups. I'm just saying.
Well, I drink out of my Keurig, but it's just like it's a pod, so it's, you know.
But that's still 10 to 12 ounces. I'm thinking about someone in my household that has a cup of coffee, and then they'll have an iced coffee in the afternoon. They'll have a protein coffee in the morning before they go to work.
That's three.
It's three, but if we're talking, I don't know that they're all 8 ounces, is what I'm saying.
Oh, I got you.
You said more than five, so that'd be 40 ounces. And
I used to know
they might get close to 40 ounces a day.
People that would drink 2 pots of coffee a day. That's extreme.
Mm-hmm.
That's really extreme. Yes. I don't think that's recommended, but I often see three cups of coffee a day is good for you.
Yeah.
I think blood sugar, too, it's supposed to help with that, too.
Even though a lot of people put sweeteners in their coffee.
Well, see,
in their
that's
coffee.
The thing. If you're doing that, there are sugar-free sweeteners. If I ever do it, I'm buying a sugar-free one.
Yeah, I usually do use sugar-free sweetener. But
yeah, if you're adding sweetener, those calories add up, especially if you're drinking multiple.
That's why a lot of time I probably stay away from coffee to some extent. I mean, it'll change when we get here, when it gets colder eventually. Yeah. Then I'll be more interested in having coffee because, I mean, coffee to me is fine, but this summer I've had more cold brew, or no, it's not cold brew. I mean, maybe it is, but it's, you know, iced coffee.
Yeah,
although
cold
I don't need much in it except for maybe some Splenda and a splash of cream or maybe just some milk or something like that is fine with me. But I don't need to have a ton of stuff in there. But, you know, I'll pick up probably more coffee consumption later on in the year.
I wish I loved tea, but I don't. On occasion, like if I'm sick, I'll drink tea. Yeah, but I just don't love it. But like you said, maybe if you put some Splenda or something in there, but no.
Well, that's how you have to drink tea. I mean, who drinks tea with no sweetener?
A lot of people do.
And just don't trust those
people. So if I drink it, that's how I'm drinking it. But
look, when I was a kid, I would go to my great-grandmother's trailer, and she'd have tea, and you'd have a bunch of sugar in it, so...
As a kid, I mean, it's like, how many sugar lumps can you put in your coffee or whatever?
As many as grandma will give you.
If she's not looking, sneak a few extra.
Yeah, great-grandma, she was older than grandma, so, yeah. I mean, yeah, you could easily do that.
I don't put, the only thing I use sugar in is if I'm baking, like cookies or
Then bars. You're missing out, young lady.
No.
Yeah, that makes tea good. I mean, if you get the teas, like the pre-made ones, that's a lemon iced tea or
sugar-free. But
yeah, they are diet ones. I mean, we get those in our house.
Yeah, or the sugar-free. Yeah, I'll do that. But
a plain tea with no sugar. I mean, that's why I never understood my parents drinking iced tea in the summertime. It's got no sweetener in it.
Ugh. Yeah. It's good for you, though. Good for all you tea drinkers.
Well,
black
good
tea,
for
green
you.
Tea. Okay, world's healthiest food. It's one singular food item. Nobody's eating this unless it comes in their Chinese food.
Bok choy.
You're close.
Water chestnut.
Yes.
Yeah, those are good.
Who's eating them?
Just in my stir fry.
Exactly.
I don't have a wok at home currently, so I haven't been making stir fry at home at all for a long time. But yeah, the water chestnuts, get them all sliced up or whatever. Those are good.
It's not water chestnuts. Watercress. There's a difference.
Oh, watercress.
Right?
Definitely a difference.
I thought it was water chestnuts. It's watercress. Study out of William Patterson University in New Jersey, published with support from the CDC, finds that the world's healthiest food is watercress. Researchers analyzed dozens of food against 17 essential nutrients, fiber, protein, iron, certain vitamins, etc. They found that 100 grams of watercress delivers 100% of your recommended daily intake and has more vitamin C than oranges and lemons and more calcium than milk. Who's buying the watercress?
It's a member of the, I can't even say that word, such and such family, starts with a B, which that family also includes broccoli and kale.
So it looks like a microgreen kind
it
of.
It does look like a microgreen.
Along the line of that.
But, I mean, that's something that, you know, I don't know. They're probably just going to be really finely chopped, I would think.
Yeah. Interesting. Like I said, when I first read it, I thought it was water chestnuts. I'm like, who's
that? Oh, yeah, it was like water chestnuts.
But even watercress, but maybe if you're getting it in microgreens, I don't know.
I don't know. Well, there's a watercress stir fry recipe I brought up right away, but I mean, I don't think you're.
And
gonna
maybe
have
it's
a whole
right there in the grocery store if you look for it. But I guess I've never looked for watercress. I don't
suppose
know.
It is. I mean, there's also an Asian market downtown, so you can probably find it there if it's not at your local grocery store.
Okay, so go healthy.
Gonna eat watercress and broccoli from now on.
Minnesota Young Farmer Rancher Workshop signups are open. WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel has all the details straight ahead.
7:23, we head out to the farm to talk with Ag Director Bridget Riedel. How are you doing this morning, Bridget?
Well, if I were you, I'd get ready to start signing up for the Minnesota Young Farmers and Ranchers Conference coming up in January. Held January 19th to 21st. Save some space on your calendar, please. Jace, I know you're going to want to go.
Yeah, where's it at?
All right. It's going to be down in the Minneapolis area.
Okay.
Applications are currently open. Mm-hmm. So you can get yours in. You can do that before October 31st. And it's sponsored by Minnesota Soybean Growers Association. So what are you going to get out of it? Well, here we go. Here's a whole list. And by, oops, I'm sorry, not Minneapolis. It's going to be in Mankato. Excuse me about that.
Oh, pass.
Okay.
South of the
city. Pass.
States.
Fine. Fine.
Heck with those guys.
Here's what's good to know. You can figure out building financial statements, young and beginning first-time farmer loan options, which is probably more important these days than ever,
mm-hmm.
your tax do's and don'ts, grain marketing outlook, predicting trends. I think we should all be attending that right now,
yeah.
A little grain marketing expertise, mm-hmm. crop insurance options, ag policy and why you should care. Frankly, this is probably one of the most important ones. The way I see it, this is just me, is that if you don't understand the policy that can directly affect your farm or ranch operation, it's time to start focusing on that. Because if, in fact, you think things are whether positive or negative, sharing that information with your legislatures can impact how it comes back out to the farm when it's proposed as policy, goes up the chain, and comes back down. Don't miss your opportunity to help shape that, so that you know what's best for you and your neighbors. So I think this is a great opportunity to hear more and start to formulate some of those reasons and expertise level ideas that you want to take on to legislation. They're going to have a discussion on succession planning, but then also building a professional relationship with your landlord. Okay, you might not think that's a big deal, but it really can be, because it's highly competitive when someone else wants to step in and try to offer your landlord more money for farm ground you're currently renting or even pasture. But if you have that solid relationship with your landlord, the chances are you can still continue to keep that. You can win. And to landlords as well, if you have someone who's on your property and has been a great steward, who has been maintaining it, making improvements, working with you, has always had a solid check, don't be swayed by those that just want to stop and drop some cash and move on, because it might be short term. They might be mining your soil for nutrients, whereas your long term renter may not be the person that would have done that. So I think it's a great way to help folks understand what more they can do to keep their landlord relationships positive.
Is renting, like if somebody doesn't own a farm, then mm-hmm. then they'll rent, or do they have both?
Both.
Both.
Oftentimes you may own some land and then rent additional land. There are farmers who just rent everything. They may only live on their farmstead, that type of thing. So there's a variety of opportunities out there.
Okay.
Some of the unique things I've seen to keep landlords involved, creating a Shutterfly book at the end of the year that shows the progression of the crop, improvements that you've made, creating a calendar with photos from the prior year, but then also having dates on there of what are some of the hometown events that are coming up. So if you're a distant landlord, you have the opportunity to come back and see what's happening and then take a look at your land and the crop that's out there. Maybe even they've penciled in some time to be sure to ride in the combines during harvest, et cetera. Mm. So I think those are good ideas too.
Are those situations, obviously, you know, landowners don't necessarily have to be, you know, farmers, you know, their entire life, but is this something that's becoming more common maybe with farmers who pass down the farm to younger generations, and maybe they have, you know, gone off to college and gotten a career in something completely different, nursing, engineering, whatever it is, and then they have this land, and so it's passed down to them, and they obviously, it's valuable land. Instead of selling it, they just decide to keep leasing it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I think you're seeing more and more folks that have inherited land but mm-hmm. don't have a direct connection to it. So they're looking for solid renters to be a part of it. Others are buying land as an investment opportunity. And so they want to find a farmer who's active and is wanting to do a great job of maintaining that land and working with the landlord for continual improvements. And when I say improvements, it's things like removing old shelter belts, planting new ones, maybe doing a tiling project, changing out some culverts and field approaches, those types of things. So there can be a lot of different mm-hmm. activities that can be done on that land that's considered improvements as well.
Interesting.
So if you are thinking maybe you want to get something a little more flavorful and colorful in your food, well, let me introduce you to the Empress Purple Tomato. It's actually bioengineered. What they did was they took some genetics from snapdragons, two genes in particular, added them to tomatoes, which are already a rich source of antioxidants, but this has helped to increase anthocyanins. So if you're looking for things that are a little new and different, maybe you've already experimented with the purple potato, now you can find the purple tomato. And really, it's helping us to see that things that we have done to bioengineer shouldn't be scary. In fact, they can often be much more helpful and healthy if we let them.
What are anthocyanins? What do they help?
I will have to go look. I just know that according to what this is telling me, it actually is more of a health benefit mm-hmm. right up there along with what we do with antioxidants. So,
well, yeah, the purple vegetables, just like purple cabbage too, or red cabbage, eggplants. Whatever you call it. Yeah,
yes.
Anything purple, red, you know, those brighter colors are good for you.
Yes, they tend to be quite helpful and mm-hmm. quite healthy. And speaking of health, the latest MAHA report that came out really showed a lot of favoritism towards agriculture. And by that, I mean, we were a little nervous that there was going to be all sorts of wanting to step away from current practices that we do, whether they contain use with chemistries or some of our tillage practices, et cetera. Actually, this report really focused on the science of what we do, and it still encourages us to be better stewards of the land, but relies on the EPA to do so much of the testing, as well as giving us a good confidence level with what we do agriculturally that positively affects our food outcomes every day.
Hmm. Interesting.
So, thanks to that. All right. If you have questions, you can always email me, ag@flagfamily.com. Today, we're going to visit with Penny Schlegel on Weather and Ag in Focus, because I read a story that she wrote about the stolen sugar horse. The horse was named Sugar. He was stolen from an event in Fargo and how they got him back. And this all happened a number of years ago, but it's a pretty cool story. So Penny's going to talk to us about horse thievery and how to track them down and much, much more.
Track down them horse thieves.
Can't let that kind of thing get away from us now, can we? So, all right. We'll talk with you tomorrow. But again, send me emails, ag@flagfamily.com. Right.
Thank you, Bridget.
Thank you.
You bet. WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel. It is 7:30. 7:33, the nice weather continuing. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is here with a check on our forecast.
Sorry. I'm watching. We're watching some dance moves on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know.
Not professional dancers.
It reminds me of how I used to dance back in the day mm-hmm. when I could move.
You had it going on.
When I could move.
Yeah, it gets tougher moving these days.
Oh, boy, does it, man. You're not kidding.
One day it's your knee. One day it's your back. It's an ankle. It's just all
right.
I'm just falling apart every day.
Well, we've got some beautiful weather to get out and dance to this afternoon. It's going to be a summer-like feel to the day. We're in the low 60s right now here at the studio, but outside of the FM area, a little cooler with temperatures low 50s in DL and Grand Forks. Wahpeton, you're at 57, and we're all going to warm up today. It's going to be, I'll call it hot for this time of the year. We're looking for record high of 88 today. Now, that would tie the record, which was just set last year, of 88. With winds today, not that strong. South-southeast, only about 10 to 15. Clear skies tonight, again, right around 60 in the FM area, outlying areas outside of the FM metro in the 50s. And then as we head into Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, all 3 days, sunny to partly cloudy, mid-80s all week long. And we get to Friday, we'll see a few more clouds. Could see an isolated shower or thunder shower pulling in from the west. We'll have highs right around 80. And then the weekend does turn cooler. The weekend looks wet on Sunday. If you have weekend plans, I would try and plan them around Saturday. Although there's a slight chance of an isolated shower Saturday late. Most of the daytime hours, at least from right now, look dry, with highs only in the low 70s on Saturday, and we're back into the 60s for highs on Sunday. That's a little more like it. Our normal highs this time of the year are 66. So we're good 20-plus degrees above normal. That's, you know, hey, we'll take it.
Yeah.
Because we know the other shoe's going to drop sooner or later, and it looks like next week, good for our duck hunters, deer hunters. We see some much cooler fall-like weather coming in as we head into next week.
All right. Thank you, Dino.
You bet.
Weather is sponsored by Jiffy Lube of Fargo, locally owned and operated with 3 Fargo locations, and you never need an appointment. Jiffy Lube of Fargo, where you can car more. Time is 7:35. We're going to have a check on your national news from ABC, and then Big Game James McCarty joins us for a WDAY radio sports update. Then Dean will return for your 3-degree guarantee.
7:38, time now for a check on your WDAY radio sports with Big Game James McCarty.
Last night, the Minnesota Wild dropped a preseason matchup at home at the Grand Casino Arena. I'm trying my hardest to really, you know, get with the times. And
are fans revolting? Are they protesting? They still want to call.
I know I'm trying to. Yeah. I'm trying to. You know what? Let's just revert back. I might just say St. Paul the whole season, honestly, or just at home it took so much out of me to not only remember that, but to let that roll off instead of saying the X at this point. They fall to the Blackhawks 4-1. That was their fourth of 6 preseason matchups. They will host Winnipeg on Tuesday at 7 o'clock. That'll be preseason game 5 of 6. Minnesota Twins were walked off by the Philadelphia Phillies 2-1 in 10 innings to wrap up their 2025 season as they ended at 70-92 on the year. Lots of question marks as we enter the offseason for the upcoming 26th season. In the WNBA postseason last night, Minnesota Lynx would blow a 13-point fourth quarter lead, being outscored 31-13 the final 10 minutes, falling to the Mercury 86-81. Caitlin McBride with 31 points. The Lynx were without star Nafisa Collier, who suffered an ankle injury in the closing seconds of Game 3, along with also being without head coach Cheryl Reeve, who was suspended by the league for her Game 3 ejection. Phoenix won that best-of-5 series 3-1 and will be in the championship series for the first time since 2021. Last night, the Indiana Fever would take down the Las Vegas Aces in Indianapolis 90-83. Kelsey Mitchell with 25 points. That best-of-5 series tied up at 2 games apiece now, as a decisive Game 5 will be played in Las Vegas Tuesday night at 8:30 on ESPN2. The winner of that one will battle Phoenix in the best-of-7 championship series beginning later on this week. Minnesota Vikings comeback bid falls short. They had 15 points in the fourth quarter, including a 2-point conversion, but ultimately, trailing by multiple scores, they were not able to score one final time in the closing seconds. They fall to the Steelers in Dublin 24-21. Carson Wentz, 350 yards through the air, 2 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. Vikings now 2-2 on the season, and they will battle the Cleveland Browns in London next Sunday at 8:30 in the morning on NFL Network. College football over the weekend saw North Dakota State defeat South Dakota 51-13. Minnesota State Moorhead falling short to Minnesota Duluth 28-14. Concordia College really just, I mean, they gutted out a 14-13 win over Gustavus, and Minnesota defeats Rutgers 31-28. On our family of stations here the rest of the week tonight, primetime sports at 6:30. Jason and I will wrap up the weekend, put a bow on the Twins season, and look ahead to some more football as we get into the middle stages of the regular seasons. Also on Tuesday night, high school volleyball action here on WDAY Radio. Fargo North battles Fargo South at 7 p.m. Friday night, Moorhead Spud football heads to Eden Prairie at 6 p.m. with Larry Knutson on the call. And on Saturday, Cobber football will host St. Scholastica for homecoming at 1 p.m. with Larry Knutson also on the call for that one. Over on our sister station, The Flag, we have high school football under the lights Friday night. The two best teams, at least rankings-wise, in the state of North Dakota at the 3A division, Shanley, we'll be hosting Fargo Davies at 7 p.m. And then on Saturday, Minnesota State Moorhead, the Dragons, return home to Shields Field to battle Minot State for homecoming with an 11 a.m. pregame and a noon kickoff. Jason on the call for both of those matchups over on our sister station, The Flag. Sports This Hour brought to you by Valley Imports and Valley Pre-Owned, your best price leader in the region. Find your next vehicle at valleyimports.com.
7:42, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is in next with your 3-degree guarantee. 7:45, time now for your 3-degree guarantee, brought to you by the Window and Door Store with Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki.
We're on a streak of what?
10, you were.
9. Oh, did he blow it?
How do you know? Yeah. Oh, you're looking at my sheet? Yeah, blew it.
I don't know how. I just knew.
Blew it on Friday.
Oh, you did?
Forecast at 79. We shot up to 84.
Ah.
So, let's see. Wes McGonigal, congratulations, Wes. You win one of our coveted keychains worth $10,000, gold-plated. Mm. Good deal. Don't sell it on the open market. We're watching. Today, we're going to go. I booked a mortgage on today's. I didn't say that on Friday, but I would definitely book your mortgage and the neighbor's mortgage on today's forecast of 88. 88 for today's 3-degree guarantee. Assuming we get there, that would tie a record. If we get 89, I'd rather see 89, but I don't have it in me to just go 89. But it wouldn't surprise me. But we'll go 88 for today's hot 3-degree guarantee.
And that is brought to you by the Window and Door Store.
746, move over doodles. There's a new It Dog in town. We'll tell you what it is coming up next. Monday morning, welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Bonnie Amistadi, Jace Denman, and you. Again, congratulations to Keith S. He won our pick six this week, brought to you by Precision Concrete Cutters Ramjack North. Be listening Friday morning at 8:10, Big Game James McCarty serving up six more games. You'll also have to give the store of the Vikings game should we need it for a tiebreaker. And whoever gets the most picks right wins a WDAY baseball cap. Golden doodles have been a big thing probably in the last 15, 20 years, golden doodle dog.
I think there's a lot of, and I mean, I'd have to look up exactly what people say about poodles, because obviously these are breeds that are mixed with poodles, but you got the golden doodle, which is very popular. I think that's our neighbor's dog is the golden doodle, Daisy.
They're pretty dogs.
But then the neighbor across their backyard and kitty corner from us, our other neighbor over there, she has a Bernedoodle. So it's a Burmese and a poodle mix.
And there's something poos, which is part poodle and something else.
I kind of like the husky corgi mix. then it looks like a husky puppy for its entire life.
That would be an
kind
accident.
Kind of, it's got a bigger badonkadonk on
it. In which one of them got loose and things happened, right?
I don't know. Those Bernard, or those corgi males, they're known to have a way with the ladies.
Yeah, okay. The new It Dog, not number one just yet. I think around these parts, labs still top the list.
Labs and retrievers store. and lab retriever mixes. I mean, that is a super popular dog. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a guy that's on social media. It's he has this dog house that he built like under the stairs. You know, kind of like where we have a door downstairs and we have a storage area there, right? It's kind of a similar situation like that. His stairs go upstairs, but he's got that space underneath the stairs, and he's made it into a dog house for
a dog cave.
Yeah, so it's a dog house. The account, I think, on TikTok is called The Guy and His Golden or something like
that.
And it's his dog's name is Teddy, and he's since gotten a couple dogs. And he makes a lot of funny videos with Teddy and stuff. And Teddy's very popular because he took Teddy to a baseball game. He's super popular, but he's a golden retriever, and they've got another puppy that's a golden retriever. I don't know what the third one is, but
too,
I mean, that's usually the most popular around up here, it seems like.
Okay, so this dog nationwide has been moving up the ranks. Mm-hmm. Last several years, number six. We'll see where they end up this year. Any guesses?
Saint Shepherd.
No, it's a smaller
dog. That's the most popular dog in my house.
It's a small dog.
Oh. Probably.
And I've been seeing more of them.
It's not a corgi, is it?
No, smaller than a corgi. Mm-hmm.
A Shih Tzu Lhasa Apso Chihuahua mix.
No, I think you call them sausage dogs.
Wiener dogs.
Yep, wiener dogs.
Well, they're not as popular up here. And I've been seeing more and more on my walks. Because we used to have wiener dog races at the Fargo Forest games around like Christmas time, right?
They got replaced by the corgis.
You got replaced by the corgis. However, they must be popular enough just as someplace as far, just a little bit south in Sioux Falls, because they actually have a lot of minor league teams and junior league teams do, they'll have an alternate identity for a game where they wear special jerseys. It's more merchandise they can sell, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that dog is the wiener dog. So they have the alternate identity of the Sioux Falls Stampede is the Sioux Falls wiener dogs or the fighting wiener dogs. I can't remember what it is. Yeah.
Yeah, they're becoming more and more popular. Yeah. They've been number six on the American Kennel Club's most popular breed list both last year and in 2023. They started a slow climb back 2015 through 17. They were 13th place. Then they got up to 9th place.
Mm-hmm.
Now up to 6th. So we'll see where they end up this year. But I do. I walk a lot, you mm-hmm. know.
Oh, yeah.
I see more and more people with weenie.
Oh, yeah. You always look at them. Is this like a top 10 you have right now?
No. It just... It's just like a story. Like,
oh, that's too bad. I was wondering where German Shepherds ranked.
I don't think they have the whole list. I mean, I'm sure if we went to the American Kennel Club,
we would find
the whole list of them. But yeah. The Dachshunds or Wieners, Sausage Dogs, whatever you call them.
They're having
their moment.
Golden Doodles, you're on notice.
A lot of people I know that had those, but they've... Some of them have died now. They were like probably, you know, in the last 15 years.
A lot of people, you know, they don't, there's not a lot of people that really like big dogs.
So you either like big dogs or you like small dogs.
Yeah, kind of. Because, you know, my wife has talked about, you know, wouldn't it be cute if we got this little small dog or whatever? And I'm like, that's not really a dog then. I mean, granted, my Luna's like, you know, she's about 90 pounds. She's part German Shepherd, part Saint Bernard, but she's a sweetheart. And then there was a family that down at the end of our street. They had like two Great Danes, and I've seen videos of Great Danes.
What's Marmaduke? I see a kid, Marmaduke around.
Yeah, I think that's a Great Dane. They're just really, really big dogs.
They seem like they have a big head. What kind of?
I don't know if that's. I think
Marmaduke. They're tall.
Yeah.
Was Marmaduke?
I think he was.
Oh, you're right. He was a Great Dane.
Yeah.
Huh, that's a big dog because there's a kid who's maybe, I don't know, let's say 12 or so walking it around our neighborhood. It's kind of funny. So the top dog for 2024 was the French Bulldog, the Frenchie.
Mm, that's what you guys got, right?
No, we have an old English Bulldog, the Frenchie.
Well, he's not that old.
No, but the Frenchie's like more prissy too. Like, they're beautiful dogs. My hairdresser's had a number of them over the years.
Are we trying to categorize that certain dogs have certain, you know, personality traits just based?
They're expensive dogs, too. The French Bulldog, number one, followed by the Labrador Retriever, Golden Retriever, German Shepherd, and then Poodle coming in at number five.
The German Shepherd.
Beagles, Bulldogs, Rottweilers, German Short Hair Pointers make the top 10, too.
I had a friend when I lived in Tucson that had not one, but two Rottweilers. And if you show up at that house and you got two Rottweilers barking at you, you're like, okay, is everything cool? Because those are some big dogs, and they can be.
Yeah, we had friends that had mini Doberman Pinschers, and they just, that's all they would do is bark. It's just like, you're just a little ankle biter.
A miniature pincher. It still thinks it's a big Doberman, which Dobermans, they can be pretty protective of their person or whatever. But, the miniature ones, you're like, you know, you're not a regular Doberman there, buddy.
Food recall. We'll talk about it in your money and markets coming up next. 7:58, checking out your money and market. Opening bell rings this morning after stocks closed higher Friday to wrap up the week. Stocks rose on data showing inflation holding relatively steady. Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index, a key inflation gauge used by the Federal Reserve, went up 0.3% in August, in line with expectations. At the close, the Dow Jones Industrial Average gained nearly 300 points, S&P 500 added 38, and the NASDAQ was up 99.
Nice. Coming up in the business week ahead, pending home sales figures are due today. That's followed tomorrow by job openings and the latest data on consumer confidence. The 1st of October brings auto sales numbers and the ADP private sector employment report. We'll get a look at weekly jobless claims on Thursday with September employment numbers out Friday. Most analysts are expecting to see around 45,000 new jobs added. As far as earnings go, it's a relatively quiet week, although Nike will be reporting fiscal first quarter results on Tuesday.
President Trump's expected to meet with Republican and Democratic congressional leaders today with the deadline to avoid a government shutdown rapidly approaching. Stopgap funding bill, which House Speaker Mike Johnson has said he supports, would keep the government from shutting down this week, as funding is set to expire tomorrow. The move would keep the government fully funded through most of November.
Let me guess, this will happen again next year.
Yep.
Just a hunch.
Pretty much.
You know, not that I would know anything about that. The $7,500 federal tax credit for electric vehicles is set to expire at the end of the month. The Biden-era credit came about in 2022 as part of the Inflation Reduction Act. It's being eliminated as part of President Trump's One Big Beautiful Bill.
Hillshire is recalling 58 million pounds of corn dogs and sausage on a stick. The products are potentially contaminated with wood that already has injured at least five people. Recall affects products packed between March 17th and September 26th, sold nationwide.
6 months worth.
You should throw out the products or take them back where you bought them. I just made corn dogs Thursday. Nobody complained of wood in them.
No, it just shows you guys chew your food adequately. That way they didn't even notice.
Well, I mean, five people hurt, so.
Well, I just wonder, I sort of wonder how, you know, you say there's wood product in there. I mean, obviously it's probably somehow some of the sticks or whatever that go to corn dogs got ground up. But normally they would be ground up like in the sausage or batter. So, I mean, if there's a big pokey part sticking out of your corn dog, don't bite that part.
Don't eat it, yeah. We are WDAY Fargo. It is 8 o'clock. Good morning. 8:03, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is here with another beautiful forecast this week.
Boy, this is more like a summer week than it is than it is a fall week. I mean,
it's unusual not to have a curveball at least one day in the week.
Right. Now, this whole week, outside of maybe Friday, we start to see a slight chance for showers move into the area. But other than that, a summer-like week. This is a great week if you got a tee time, if you want to hit the trails, just anything. Just get outside. Now, I know our duck hunters or deer hunters, they're probably like, all right, come on, enough's enough. Let's get some cooler weather. Your weather is coming next week, I promise you. We'll get the cooler weather coming in next week. But this week, it's a nice one. We're currently in the 50s to near 60 across the area. We're going to look at a lot of sunshine today and highs in the upper 80s. Our record is 88. I think we'll at least get there. We could hit 89. One of our models is forecasting 89. I'm going to go 88. With the south-southeast wind about 10 to 15. Tonight, clear skies down into the upper 50s to near 60 and mid-80s Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And looks like a pretty dry forecast. Maybe a sprinkle or two Wednesday, but again, not really nothing to worry about. And then Friday, we'll start to see a storm system try to pull into the area on Friday. Could give us a few scattered showers. And then we'll see a break on Saturday. Then Saturday night into Sunday looks wet. So if you have weekend plans, I'd do them on Saturday. Sunday looks a little wet with temperatures cooling off into the 60s and 70s over the weekend. And then we'll start off next week with highs in the 60s. That's a little more like it. Our normal highs this year should be in the mid-60s. We're good 20-plus degrees above that. So
can we have some low 70s?
Yeah.
Can we? Saturday.
There you go.
Saturday, low 70s.
Thank you, Dino.
You got it.
8:05 coming up tomorrow morning, Flatland Music Flashback, brought to you by Flatland Guitar, a music store in Fargo, built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. We're going to be showcasing this artist. It was the first song when she went to number one on this day tomorrow, back in 1995, went to number one. She became the first female artist to hit number one and only the second overall with a debut song. Find out who it is, Flatland Music Flashback. Also, a kid in Philly who skipped class to meet his musical hero. He handed his teacher a note explaining why he missed class, and his musical hero even signed it. So pretty cool stories we'll be showcasing tomorrow morning, Flatland Music Flashback. It is 8:06. We're going to get your national news from ABC in. Then Big Game James McCarty has your WDAY Radio Sports. 8:10, time to check out your WDAY Radio Sports with Big Game James McCarty.
It was a busy weekend for those sports fans out there. We had the Minnesota Wild continue preseason play last night. They fell to the Chicago Blackhawks 4-1. It was 17 out of 20 when it comes to saved shots on net by Philip Gustafson. The Wild will welcome the Winnipeg Jets into St. Paul Tuesday night at 7 p.m. That'll be their fifth of six preseason games. A reminder for those fans who have completely checked out of hockey, the NHL approved an 84-game regular season for this next bargaining agreement. So for the next, I believe it's five seasons, if I remember correctly. So with that, they're not only are they trying to avoid having the Stanley Cup final potential game seven like 4 days before the NHL draft starts, but they're also adding two regular season games and taking away a couple preseason. That's why it's like, man, we already have preseason hockey. Well, when you have the regular season starting about 2.5, almost 3 weeks early, that's part of it, is because you're having an 84-game regular season. We'll see how everybody adjusts to it this season and moving forward.
It just seems weird. Like, it does. Because I had asked you, I'm like,
Seems yeah. Like
well, and the Fargo Force, they opened up their season, the Fall Classic. It would have been, I mean, 2 weeks ago, technically, yeah. Which is kind of crazy to think about. 2 weekends ago at this point. So it's been 8 days since their most recent game. So you kind of forget that they're playing right now. Their home opener is this upcoming Saturday, the same day that you're going to have both Dragon and Cobbers football homecoming. You're going to have the Force playing that evening against Sioux City. So, I mean, the Metro's bumping right now. NDSU just wrapped up homecoming. I'm pretty sure, you know, everything north of Maine is still good to go for them. I don't think that they tore anything down too badly for homecoming after that victory for them. But it was a good weekend overall. We're going to enter another great sports weekend again this upcoming weekend. Minnesota Twins, they fall to the Phillies. They were walked off 2-1 in 10 innings. That was their series finale and also 2025 season finale. They ended the year at 70-92 as they regroup for the 2026 season over the next couple of months. WNBA semifinals, game number 4, saw the Lynx lead by 13 after three quarters, but then get outscored by 18 in the fourth, falling to the Mercury 86-81. Caleb McBride with 31 points. The Lynx lose this series 3-1. They were without star Nafisa Collier, who suffered an ankle injury in the closing seconds of Game 3. And they were also without head coach Cheryl Reeve, who was suspended by the league for her Game 3 ejection. In the other series, Indiana defeated Las Vegas 90-83. They are forcing a decisive Game 5 now in that series on Tuesday night at 8:30 in Las Vegas on ESPN2. The winner of that series will get the Phoenix Mercury in the best-of-seven championship series that will begin later on this week. In NFL action, the Minnesota Vikings scored twice in the fourth quarter, got a two-point conversion. They actually outscored Pittsburgh 15-3 in the fourth. The problem is they were down 21-6, so even though they outscored them by a dozen points in that fourth frame, they fall 24-21. They had 350 yards through the air, two touchdowns and two interceptions from Carson Wentz. Vikings are now 2-2 in the season. They stay overseas this weekend when they're in London to battle the Cleveland Browns. That'll be Sunday at 8:30 in the morning on NFL Network. And as we round out sports, we have a bunch of college football that happened last week. NDSU steamrolling South Dakota and homecoming 51-13. Minnesota State Moorhead falls to Minnesota Duluth 28-14. Concordia College over Gustavus 14-13. And Minnesota over Rutgers 31-28. Actually, I kind of lied to you guys. I want to give a plug for the rest of the week. We got some great stuff this week coming up on our family of stations. So tonight, primetime sports at 6:30. Jason and I will give a segment to the Minnesota Twins. They don't deserve it, but at the same point, it'll because of the front office and ownership. I'm not going to blame the team for it, so I'm going to give them one last segment this season before the offseason.
It'll be a short segment, don't worry.
It will be. It'll be just like the flash in the pan, right? A little snap of the finger.
30 seconds for every 10 wins.
3.5 minutes?
Yes.
Look at that. We got a math quiz over here.
I know, he's torturing. You should have seen like his eyes were working overtime.
Had a little smoke coming out of my ears. I was like, oh boy, this is the hamster wheel's turning this morning.
He didn't use his fingers at least, so he got that going for him.
I did take a sock off though.
My fingers.
I was really trying to figure this one out. It was tough. Also, the rest of the week on WDAY Radio, Tuesday night, high school volleyball. Fargo North battles Fargo South at 7 p.m. Jason and I will be on the call for that one. Then we have gridiron battles Friday and Saturday. Moorhead High heads to Eden Prairie in football on Friday night at 6 p.m. with Larry Knutson on the call. Saturday afternoon, it's homecoming for the Cobbers as they host St. Scholastica. 1 p.m. kickoff with Larry Knutson on the call as well. Our sister station, The Flag, has a couple of great football matchups for you the rest of the week. Friday night on the turf at Shanley at Sid Sitchi Stadium, you'll have the top-ranked Deacons against number 2-ranked Fargo Davies. That'll be a 7 p.m. kickoff. That is literally for the number 1 ranking in the state of North Dakota at this point, and also the 25th Street rivalry. A lot of bragging rights on the line along with the top ranking in the state and controlling your destiny when it comes to the state tournament that, believe it or not, is only going to be a month away from Friday. It's kind of crazy to think about. And then on Saturday, 11 a.m. pregame, a noon kickoff, Minnesota State Moorhead, the Dragons hosting Minot State for homecoming. Jason and I will have all the coverage for you, some great player conversations, your coach's comments with Steve Lockway, and who knows, maybe, just maybe, some radio schmuck is going to have something pulled up his sleeve this week.
That'd be you.
Possibly.
Yeah, obviously. Right?
Very, very, very much could be a possibility.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. I could make a fool of myself. Maybe I don't.
Not
More likely than not, I will.
You.
I've got a couple of ideas
for this weekend. We'll see how they turn out.
I kind of wonder the broadcast on Friday night. Just so people know, that one could potentially go 4 hours. And I'm just saying that because James and I literally went into.
I have absolutely no idea what to expect anymore.
We went into a game on Friday night last week between two teams that want to run the ball. They're just kind of grinded out 4 or 5 yards per play and spin the clock as
traditionally
quickly.
Cheyenne and Davies. It's a wing T and a wishbone.
Yep.
For those who are unaware of what that means,
it means a lot of guys
in motion are running the football.
We ended up with a 51-27 ball game on Friday night, and
multiple touchdowns of over 70 yards from passing.
Shanley is a pass happy offense that likes to score a lot of points, but they give up a bunch of points. Well, Fargo Davies can score some points as well, just in a different way, and we could be in for quite a game on Friday. Yeah,
Davies, I thought would want to bleed out the clock. It turns out they're multifaceted this year, which is awesome.
Absolutely,
to not be one dimensional. As for Coach Madden and his deacons, huddling is not their friend.
No. Mm-hmm.
And so it's going to be a lot of plays in a hurry, trying to get points up on the board, and then just going and resetting. So, yeah, I really don't know if this game's going to be over by 9 o'clock or if it goes till closer to 11.
We shall see.
Regardless, if we hit overtime, who knows what happens.
We thought we were going to be done about an hour and a half on Friday night with two teams that just love to have the ball and just take
their
time.
It was a fun matchup still, regardless. But, yeah, it was a little bit more... air-rated than I thought it was going to be.
We come out and Davey scores a touchdown right away, and you're like, okay, that's kind of, you know, not surprising. They're able to run the ball, just control the clock. It took up about half the quarter to get that. Cheyenne ran one play.
Yeah, they just ran a fly route, and I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it was like, okay, all right.
So regardless, we have some great matchups here the rest of the week, so we're looking forward to some great, I mean, whether you're talking on the hardwood for volleyball, you're talking on the turf for football, high school, college, lots of great coverage here the rest of the week for darn sure.
All right. Weird theft story, very, very expensive theft. Whiskey. When you make craft whiskey.
I was in Duluth.
I don't think this is you.
That's what I'm saying. I gave you my alibi.
It takes a long time to make.
Yeah, it's got to age in a barrel.
Yeah. In Washington State, 12,000 bottles of craft whiskey worth nearly $1 million were stolen.
Wow.
The distillers had worked for more than a decade to make this craft whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
It was supposed to be headed to New Jersey, and the way the thieves got away with this is they showed up with a truck, a semi.
Mm-hmm.
At a warehouse,
okay,
had some paperwork that supposedly gave them the right to pick up the shipment of this single malt blended whiskey that was bound for Jersey. Workers didn't question it, let them go, and the whiskey never arrived at the intended destination.
Did they find out who sold it?
No.
I'm going to guess it's the guys that were slurring.
I don't know which whiskey you're talking about over there.
I wonder what 12,000 bottles, like, what do you do with 12,000 bottles?
There's a lot of people that were having a good night, you know.
Is it bad to assume that it might have been the Canadians?
Ouch.
Get
out. It's a quick little drive right up the interstate to get, you know, across the border, and then you're scot-free, and now you have a business model.
Oh.
I'm not blaming them, but I'm just saying, until they have an alibi...
Well, there's that.
Right?
You kind of wonder.
I was also in Duluth, so.
They steal it. I mean, I can't imagine they're going to be able to, you know, sell it kind of on the down low that well, especially if it's been something
you cross lines, if you can get it to Canada.
You're going to sell 12,000
individual. I don't know how you're going to do it.
There's a guy that does a whiskey podcast, Mark Gillespie. He's a whiskey connoisseur.
Suspect number one.
No, Whiskey Cast podcast. He has published more than 3,800 tasting notes for different whiskey varieties. He says it would be difficult to sell the stolen goods, and he says it's going to be hard to get it on market. He goes, we've seen these thefts occur occasionally over in Scotland, where thieves will steal a trailer full of whiskey, and it usually ends up in Russia, they say. So maybe it's going to another country.
The Canadians colluding with the Russians.
Vladimir Putin's up to it. I guess he got tired of vodka.
To heck with politics. It's about the whiskey nowadays. Mm-hmm.
When you can't sell it to, like, legitimate bars,
I will
and
buy your whiskey for $2 million.
They have to get it from a distributor, so it's interesting. Like, where's the whiskey? But 10 years,
Vladimir does not know where whiskey's at. He has no idea.
Stay tuned. We'll find out if
no, it's just brown vodka. Just don't no drink, drink.
If they find it, U.S. liquor heists are so rare. Yeah. The last one that I could find, it was a bourbon heist that occurred back in 2017, and they ended up catching a guy. He was the accused ringleader of that operation. Stole bourbon from a pair of distilleries and got some pretty lengthy time in prison. 15 years in prison for that.
Is the ATF involved in this?
I don't know.
I mean, it's a big enough case. It'd be, I mean, it's got to be worth
it. Alcohol, sure, probably, right?
Yeah. And although I don't know if that's what they're concerned about, you know, alcohol thefts.
Well, something that big, I would say the story's so long. I don't see where it says that. But I wouldn't surprise me if they are involved in this investigation. A couple of cool things on the music front. There's a statue, a 10-foot tall statue.
And bulletproof.
Yeah, it is, because it's made out of bronze.
You know that
looks
song,
like
10 feet tall and bulletproof?
I know. Tina Turner in her hometown, rural town of 9,000 people in Tennessee, Brownsville, Tennessee. And it's like Tina, you know, she's got a microphone in her hand. She's wearing, you know, her shirt, you know, like the classic Tina Turner look that you would have expected.
The little short dress and.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's cool.
That's neat.
It's near the town of Nutbush, they say. A community where she went to school as a child. As a teen, she attended high school. Just steps from where that statue now stands. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And she died in 2023. That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 83. But 10-foot tall. Statue of Tina Turner near Brownsville, Tennessee. Not Texas. Tennessee, if you want to see that. And then I see Dolly Parton's got something going on.
She's got some health issues. So her is it her residency
in
Vegas
in Vegas,
she's going to be in postpone?
Yeah. There was a little blurb, like she canceled a show about a week or two ago, and I can't remember what the reasoning was there, but she says she's canceling her upcoming Vegas shows over health issues. She posted a statement on Instagram saying she's dealing with health challenges, and her doctors told her she had to have a few procedures done.
Mm.
What was she, like 83? Or how old is Dolly?
I don't remember. I mean, she's obviously getting older. Certain parts of her are only like
79. I made her older than she's coming up on 80. January, she'll be 80.
She'll be 80.
Yeah. I love her. Everybody loves Dolly Parton. Mm-hmm. She's so sweet. She says, your fans spend good money to see your show. She wants to put together a show they deserve to see. So she does plan on being back. She's got to deal with some medical stuff right now. Six of her concerts that were set to be in Vegas in December have now been moved to September of next year.
Hmm.
So probably some lengthy
recovery here. It sort of seems like some of the performers that obviously we grew up with, Bonnie, to me it seems like some of these performers are performing later and later in life. You know what I mean?
It's just a thrill or a high you get. Well, kind of like the sports thing. Like Tom Brady didn't want to retire. It's the same thing with a lot of these singers and rock and roll.
I mean, this is what they're known for. This is what gained them their lifestyle, etc. And there are some that, you know, they kind of want to do it because of the attention, the fame, the income. But others just, they really want to be able to perform for their fans. It means a lot to them. But it still seems like we're seeing more and more performers perform. I mean, Dolly's going to be 80 and she's going to be out there performing. I mean, that is incredible.
It is.
You know, to be that age. I mean, my folks are like, they cut down the dead tree out of the bushes this weekend. And that's like, you know, it's like they'll do that in phases or whatever. I mean, could you imagine having a residency in Vegas and having to perform each night for like 30 nights in a row or something?
It's a lot.
It is. And I'm just surprised that some performers are able to still do it. That's really, really impressive.
Well, hopefully wishing Dolly the best and hopefully she is back to good health soon.
Yeah.
It is 8:25, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. We are going to check in with the American Ag Network. 8:28, final minutes here of Bonnie and Friends Coffee Club coming up next. We've got Ronnie in studio and brought in a co-host here, Patrick Kirby, joining you this morning.
Yeah, yeah. He was kind enough to step in. Janae enjoying some
Hoosta Fest.
Much appreciated time off at the Hoosta Fest and seeing a friend she hasn't seen in a long time. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah, good for her.
Yeah, I mean, I saw the picture of the bread pudding. How do you not?
Oh, wow. That looked absolutely delicious.
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely.
And Patrick's bringing some sunshine to the show today.
Yes. Listen, I've never been more appropriately aligned with the show since I get to caffeinate myself all morning. I like coffee and I like talking. This is like the perfect combo platter
life
of all time.
Good, right?
Very grateful for the opportunity.
Plenty of time to do talking. Yeah. What are you guys going to talk about today? Do you have a show book? Did Janae book it for you?
We have a couple of guests for sure. Time is running short. If you've got socks out there or are planning on purchasing socks and you were like, oh, Sue Drive, the sock drive. Yes, I got. You better buy them because October 3rd it ends, and you can bring them down here or any of the sites that she'll tell you. You know, West Fargo Rural Fire Department.
Competition ends, but they'll take socks.
Yeah,
definitely
will.
So we'll talk to Sue, and then we've got Daryl Vosvig in from a Place for Hope to talk about some scary developments in them collecting food and how that process works and all that stuff. So we'll get that story out to the folks. And then also question of the day, shower body parts. Which one you washed first could reveal something about your personality and all of that coming up. Yeah. Yes.
I don't know.
It's the best tease of all time. Yes. I really think that just letting that sit there.
I'm just trying to think of what I do wash first, you know, I guess.
You're probably brain dead when you get the shower in the morning anyway, because he's not really a morning guy.
No, I'm just lucky. I make it into the shower in the morning, but it just helps me wake up.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I step in the shower, turn the water on, and when it hits my face, I'm just like,
And the funny thing is there are people out there that are definitely set. There are morning shower people, and then there's evening shower people. Some people will be like, well, I got to shower before I go to bed because I don't want to be dirty getting into bed. And I'm just like, I want to be awake in the morning, so I shower in the morning.
Soap people and non-soap people.
Non-soap people.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
I raised a boy probably until he was like 14. It's like, get back in the shower and use soap.
Well, you have my kids. That's nice.
Here's the funny thing is that I was told by my dad he would just use the shampoo, like lather up his hair with the shampoo, and he would he would just use that to wash himself. And I'm like, what? So, I mean, that wasn't the kids in the household. It was my dad. So I don't know if he still does that or not.
Back in the day, we may have had to conserve soap, but we don't anymore.
Exactly.
Use soap.
Soap is abundant. You can just get it anywhere.
Yes.
And bar soap or gel.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I'm still a bar soap guy, man. I can't adjust.
I have been for years, but I've just transitioned nicely to the body wash gel.
You got a nice Patrick?
Loofah? It's definitely a loofah. Definitely a loofah guy. I want to know what it reveals about your personality if you're a parent that has to remind their kids to actually wash themselves. I don't even care what part they do first.
Your mother's probably had to do the same thing.
She chuckles all the time, says, ah, karma, isn't this a lovely thing?
My mom would always say, just wait till you have kids. And,
somebody's going to be just like you.
He's 23 now. He does use deodorant.
Oh, thank goodness.
All right, stay tuned. The coffee club's coming up. Jace, let's get out of here.
All right, you betcha.
Bonnie and friends, we'll be back 5 o'clock tomorrow morning. Have a great day.